You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast. I'm of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias. Back, I believe, the date today, Monday the 28th of June, 2021, in the year of our Lord, St. Peter Volandis. Obviously, huge State of Origin game two, which we're going to get to. Don't know if there's actually anything else in the sporting world that even rates a mention. There might be some things, but not much. But as always, before we sort of get into the sporting week that was, I like to introduce to you all the co-host of the show, the one, the only, Edward Lloyd Simpson.
Hello, mate. It's a pleasure to be here. Fucking hell of a morning. Woke up pumped up.
Yeah.
I was up fucking early. I was up at 5 to drive back from Kangaroo Valley. We stayed another night.
Did you drive back today?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay another night. I'm having the fucking most relaxing time of all time. I'm just going to unwind completely.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and go the big lift. I checked how long it took. Hour and 50. I'm like, okay, is that going to be an hour and 50 on a Monday morning? Bang, of course it will. COVID. No one on the road, baby. I can commit to that. And once I had a bit of, once I knew what I was in for,
yeah,
I was fine. I woke up fucking pumped up.
I was
a little bit hungover. Maybe a couple of Negronis last night, a few blokes. But generally, a few margaritas, but generally speaking, was buoyed by the performance from our boys in blue last night.
Our state.
Which we'll get to. But thought I'd just, you know, inform the punter and the dribbler on my weekend.
Well, because we are in lockdown again, right? So COVID's thrown everyone through a fucking loop.
That's right.
It's COVID one more than you and your plans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I was supposed to go down to Tassie to, just having a drink of my coffee. To look at a wedding venue, which is booked in. I'm not going to tell the punter and the dribbler where it is. Because
then it'll just be swamped by Pat.
It'll be swamped. It'll be ruined.
Yeah.
It's in Tasmania. And we were going down to check it out. I hadn't seen it yet. Ella had. We're going to hang out there, you know, go to Hobart, cruise around up to Freycinet, have a great time. All this COVID stuff starts kicking off. Ella's like, can we get an earlier flight? That was the earliest one we could get. 11 a.m. I'm like, should be sweet. Like, nothing announced yet. Should be fine.
This was Wednesday, Thursday?
Wednesday. Get to the airport, check in, not a problem, through security. Everything's looking hunky, fucking dory. Get up to the gate. I'm ready to rock. Buy a magazine. We're on the plane. I'm on the plane now.
What magazine did you buy?
Cosmos.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Cosmos.
Fair. Yep. Respect.
Yep, liked it.
I thought you were saying Cosmo. I was like, okay, that was
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
No, Cosmos. Sat down, fucking rifling through it, having a fucking ball. And then I'd sort of like overheard them calling. They were like, ask this girl to come up to the front. But I didn't really pay attention, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get you.
Anyway, so we're sitting there, and then the captain comes over like 20 minutes later. He's like, yep, we're just waiting for the paperwork. And Ella's like, whoa, that's not a good sign. I'm like, no, it's just paperwork.
Nah.
I've been around paperwork issues
yeah,
before.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was once in fucking flying from New York back to Sydney. Paperwork issues kept us on the fucking, in the terminal from 3 p.m. till 3 a.m. So I know paperwork
Holy
issues.
Shit. So paperwork can be
lent upon for this sort of a situation. Yeah. You can land on paperwork. And it's been lent on before. So I've lived and breathed paperwork.
Yeah.
And I was like, it'll be fine. And then another half an hour goes by and he comes back in. Oh, actually, someone that was on the plane who's since been removed and taken for a test was like a potential COVID fucking...
Was everyone like, so not paperwork, you made us sit in this little fucking COVID jail cell?
Well, it's a ploy. Oh, it'll be fine. You know, as soon as she's tested, we'll fucking take off. We'll be on our merry way.
Were you not alarmed that there was someone on the fucking plane that might have had COVID?
Well, I was like, hang on, how the fuck has this happened? Has she told someone when she hopped on the plane? Oh, by the way, like, I know you're closing the door, but I might have COVID. Like, I don't think that happened.
Yeah, how the fuck did
that? So then I'm like, is like the contact tracers fucking talk to someone and then they've been like, I think she's getting a flight today and like they've pieced it together that way? I don't know.
You haven't had an answer for this?
We haven't had an answer. We're not told. Anyway, so we're sitting on the fucking plane. An hour goes by. Two go by. After 2 hours, they're like, okay, so we're just going to get you off the plane now because it's a little bit more comfortable. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just a fucking disaster.
It's happening.
Get off. And they've literally shut the whole Jetstar, like, end of the terminal down. We get off and a bloke's got this massive assault rifle. Like,
That seems like overkill to me.
It was 100% overkill, but I think it was their way of saying, don't fuck around here.
Who's fucking around?
I don't know.
What's this like? I remember you'd go to other countries and you'd see an assault rifle and you're like, wow, shit's a bit real in this country. Mm. It seems like now slipped the assault rifle into everyday
The assault
police
rifle.
Repertoire. You're like, what the fuck are we doing with an assault rifle?
Couldn't agree more. The assault rifle has been a COVID addition, I think.
Yeah,
COVID's around. Let's start fucking dropping the assault rifle in, the AR.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that we were just good with your run-of-the-mill Glock handgun or whatever the fuck
also,
it is.
Also, you can put a taser on the front of your fucking chest. I'm not running, mate. I'm going to get tased.
Exactly.
Fuck that.
I don't want to get shot with volts of electricity.
Mate,
need a machine gun.
When did pepper spray stop being enough?
We're in a country.
Pepper spray can bring down a fucking mountain lion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's used for bears, like bear mace and shit. Like, why would you think you need an assault rifle for me?
Mate, you don't need an assault rifle.
My back goes, like, I've got no core. What do you think I'm going to do? Wrestle down a police officer and fucking steal your gun?
No. What? Not without my vision.
Or are you trying to shoot? You can't shoot COVID. You can't tell me this is directly related to an airborne disease.
No. No, it's ridiculous. It's the world's gone mad, Tom. Get off there, and the whole fucking terminal is shut down. Poor bloke who's in there selling his, you know, banana bread and his brownies and his muffins and shit. He's been told to fuck off.
Well,
so that's closed.
Mate, you can't
down.
Be selling fucking banana.
The
bread.
Whole thing is closed, right? And so we sort of just meander around, and people take their seats, sort of quite spread out because it's a large area. An hour goes by, I'm like, can we get some food? He's like, mate, vending machine just there. I'm like, okay, great. Well, it's like fucking 4:30, 5 o'clock now. I haven't eaten since 10 o'clock, but I'll get another bag of Twisties, sure. After 3 hours in the terminal, so now it's 5 hours or 5.5 hours total, they come over the speaker, they're like, all right, great news, she's tested negative. We're like, perfect. But Tasmania now closed the borders to people that have visited in the last 14 days. Wallara, Bondi, blah, 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 like, which I'm like, well, for fuck's sake.
Everywhere you've been.
Then we start talking, me and Ella, like, ooh, do we roll the dice here? Do we
shoot
roll the dice?
Stars.
Do we shoot for the stars? Do we go the big lift? Do we take a punt? I was originally in camp, yes, camp punt.
Yeah.
Ella too. Ella was on board.
So you were both
camp punt. We're both camp punt. We're going to punt. But then Ella started to get a bit more anxious about it, talked to her old man. Her old man's like, ooh, that's a pretty big punt. But then her mum was pro punt. Her dad wasn't. And then doubt comes in. And when doubt creeps into a situation like
Between the two, like if you're both rock solid on the idea, as soon as like someone gets in between that, the little sliver of doubt.
Oh, yeah, the glue starts to come.
The foundation starts to shake.
Oh, yeah, it's shaken. And now the building's at risk.
Yep.
We went up to the counter and she's like, oh, they're pretty hectic down in Tassie. Like they, you know, they've been known to go through bank statements and shit. I'm like, bank statements? Ooh, that'll do me in. And then I start thinking about doing fucking 2 weeks quarantine in a Tasmanian fucking airport motel. And I thought, nah, we're going to have to fucking parachute out of this bitch. So we got our bags off and
The idea of you being fucking in a fucking Tasmanian airport motel for 2 weeks.
With Elsa, she would have been a nightmare.
Fucking hilarious.
Oh, dude.
You would have lost
Zoom.
The plot.
Yeah.
They probably don't
even show Origin down in Tassie either. It would have been a fucking nightmare.
You got to work for it in Tassie to find Origin. I was down there for one a couple of years ago.
So
you bailed.
Got out of there, got home at... I was seated on the plane reading Cosmos at 11:30 and I got home at like 7:30. So, you know, it was a fucking great day. Great day. One of the great days.
One of the great days. Airports, dude.
Yeah. So after that, we fucked off to Kangaroo Valley for 3 nights, which is lovely.
That's nice.
Up in the hills.
Yeah. Just thought, let's get away.
Yep.
Recharge the batteries.
Recharge. Big recharge. Great weekend. That's my story, Tom.
Took Tonka.
Oh, Tonka, bro. Fucking hell. He loved it.
Of course he fucking
like
did.
As soon as he sees a bit of space, he just goes mad. Like he didn't stop running the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what a dog does when they get a little
warm
bit of
the
that.
Heart. Warm the heart right up.
It's fucked though now, dude. This lockdown's obviously, you know, we're an essential service, so we keep going. But
we have to keep going.
Dribble and yarn.
If dribble and yarn isn't essential now, like then when is it?
Well, listen,
people need us now more than ever.
Exactly. When it hit last year, no sport. At all, we were like, well, we'll keep going.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you think we can't talk without sport?
Yeah.
What do you think the last 15 minutes have been?
Think again.
Think again.
I go 4 hours.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Won't bring up sport ones?
No. That was pretty much, to be honest. We did full dribbler, separate dribbler hour podcast, which was just responding to the...
Mate, we had so much dribble and yarn on the go. We did one podcast completely of dribble and of yarn. Yeah. And then another one where dribblers yarned. Do you know what I mean?
And the dribblers needed an outlet. They were like, I need to yarn and I need to yarn now.
Oh, fuck. Exactly. They needed... There was a lot of bent up energy out there, wasn't there?
Yeah, pent up.
Pent up.
Not bent up. But that's it was close. One letter off.
Yep.
but yeah, it's funny though now, like with the lockdown where it's like, okay, so you can only leave your house for exercise. It was the motivation I needed. I hadn't exercised for 4 months.
Mm.
Shin splints, we know the yarn. We know the story.
Mm.
But Saturday morning was like, fuck it. Me and Steph went to Centennial Park. It may as well have been a Saturday in summer and COVID had never existed. There were millions of people there, everyone wanting to run and walk. And just, it's like, that's the thing where I'm kind of like trying to work out with this Delta variant, which sounds sexy. Do you not think Delta variant sounds sexier in terms of all these variants?
I think in terms of COVID variants, Delta, a very sexy term. I want to know where it's come from. Is it off the back of like Delta, the airline in the US?
Oh, like naming, who's got naming rights to this one?
Well, I'm just thinking, has Delta paid a sum of monies?
Dude, imagine that corporation starting to sponsor the next strain. We should try and sponsor the next one. Dribbler variant.
Dribbler variant, yeah. Have you got an answer, Dior?
I'm getting there. Well, I think it's Greek alphabet or phonetic alphabet, right? Because there's the alpha strain.
Okay.
And then this one.
But there was an Indian strain.
So they're just moving through.
No, the Delta strain is the Indian strain. I think they don't really want to be calling
it. You know how they do? Like hurricanes and tornadoes, they just keep going down the list.
And just coming up with a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But based on the letter. So Delta's like the fourth strain of the disease.
Well, I mean, they could have called it the dribbler strain. I feel like that makes more sense.
And it also, I don't get why.
The dribbler variant.
Prepared to rework it, Tom.
I think dribbler variant makes more sense.
But there's an alpha variant. But the alpha
Which would have been first.
But yeah, but the alpha variant isn't as strong as the Delta variant.
Well, no, they change.
Yeah.
It's got stronger.
Yeah, but when you think alpha, you think like, oh, this is the top dog.
Yeah, but that would have been first.
That's just one.
I get that.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
Fourth stronger than the first.
But is it much stronger? I thought it was just much more contagious.
No, much more contagious.
Yeah. So not.
Which
not,
is a strength of sorts.
Yes, but in terms of like what it does, I feel like
it's sort of its superpower.
Yeah, it's
like highly contagious.
Preliminary evidence suggests that people infected with Delta are about twice as likely to end up in hospital compared with the Alpha.
Oh, etch. Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's exciting.
So,
a few people getting vaccines and shit. I haven't.
I've booked mine. That's
did
exciting.
You? Yeah, a bunch
are
of boys.
Are we allowed to get?
Yeah, dude, a bunch of boys fucking got it yesterday.
Are we allowed to get it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's food for thought.
Exactly, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I just want to make sure your parents get it first, or I'm just like, hey, Dad, Mum, you got your fucking vaccines?
Yeah.
Who knows?
High risk.
Anyway, lockdown, which is fun, but I actually am not that concerned because I feel like life for me as a parent is kind of the same. I can't really go out that much anyway, and I can still do the podcast and the show, so.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, you know what I mean?
Look,
what about for Dave? You're locked down with your parents. Is that right?
That's fun.
Are you excited for that? Are you planning like an escape?
Especially because I started.
Do you pass the billy around or?
Yeah, exactly. We all take turns. Yeah.
Sit around the fucking kitchen table.
I've got to shout them weird though and they don't pay me back. So
well, what if we just swing them some cookies though? Surely they'll be cool with that.
Yeah, that'd be not bad. But I started my uni holidays like halfway through last week, so this is just perfect.
School holidays start today as well,
yeah,
I think.
That's the fucking worst.
It's fucked everyone.
Bruh. Sucked into parents.
Dude, seriously. Well, I'm a parent, Dave, so fuck you.
Like,
but not really.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Really, I know what you mean.
But yes. Parents with kids at school.
100%.
Yes.
It is. It would be a fucking nightmare. That's also the thing. Like, with Evie, you're just doing the same shit you do anyway, right? You play around, fucking blow bubbles. She is obsessed with bubbles, by the way. Like, you want to see a child's eyes light up? You want to know, you know, like, core of the Earth's hottest place on Earth, right? Fucking North Pole, I don't know where, is like the coldest place on Earth. When Evie's playing with bubbles, when Evie's playing with bubbles, that's the cutest place on earth. Just so you know.
If you are finding the hours hard to fill, I would suggest going back through the back catalogue.
Yeah.
Okay. There's plenty of dribbling yarn there. Plenty of dribbling
yarn. Plenty. How lucky would you feel? Like, I'm sometimes jealous of the punter and the dribbler who just happens across us now, and they're like, holy shit, there's like fucking 200 episodes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
It's about, because there's 70.
How many would there be? Be 150, 180?
Well, no. So there's 200, we're like 270 something now.
We'd be at 200.
Yeah. We'd have 200.
Available episodes of Dribbling of Yarn. Yeah, that's almost a year if you listen to one a day.
That'll get you through fucking lockdown.
Remember those blokes are like inboxes are like, mate, I just fucking found your podcast 2 weeks ago and I've gone through the whole back catalogue.
We were like, holy
the other 70? I'm like, have you slept, bro?
What the hell? But that is good to know. Dribbling Yarn, the YouTube page, you know, you've got about even there as well if you want to fucking just dig in and rip some responsible famous bets. But who really cares? What I will say, actually, Eddie, we completely forgot about this off the top, but that's the way things go. The response to the Bounce Out Trackie sale has been fantastic. Thanks to all of you motherfuckers that have gone and got them. So currently, Bounce Out Trackies pre-sale and the Punters and Dribblers hats pre-sale still going. There's dribbler packs, which sold out in about a day. There was a finite amount of those, but that was where you got the trackies, the hat, and some stubby coolers. The sale pre-sale goes till Friday, so you've got a few more days.
For the trackies.
The hats will still be up there, but for the trackies, you've got till Friday. So you don't want to miss out on those motherfuckers.
No, you don't.
Because they ain't coming back. Should we talk some Origin?
Let's do it. Punters and Dribblers, you know the drill. Good day. Good day Multivitamin is taking the world by storm. People are getting fucking blown away. Knickers and pantyhose getting blown clean off. This is the real deal. Mm-hmm. Selling like hotcakes. Word of mouth taking over. There's no bullshit about this. Okay, the latest fucking review. This is unreal. 5 stars. Good day does everything it describes and more. I received my first batch when I was unwell, and it did a great job of getting me through the back end of each day when I started to crash. Tick. Some people may think there is bias if you are fans of the Hello Sport Boys. But to disprove this, I convinced my wife to jump on board. She was amazed with how well it got her through the work days and improved her sleep. This will be at the top of the shopping list from now on.
There you go. And that's it.
There's no bias there, mate.
No.
That's just a wife, potentially a mother, trying to get through the day without crashing and wants to sleep well at night.
Obviously, you know, it's a – we're a you could say skew more male on this podcast, maybe. I don't know if that's true or not. But this is not something where it's like, oh, this is a bloke's multivitamin. This is for everyone.
This is a multivitamin for human beings.
Yeah, this is a human
Homo sapiens. Yeah. You know why? Because we're all fucking deficient in shit because we don't eat properly.
That's right. And as I said earlier on, the energy is the most tangible, immediate benefit you get from good day.
And mental clarity.
And mental clarity, but there are many other health benefits that you get from there. Head to begoodhealth.com.au. You can find out everything you want to know about the product itself, and you can also get yourself some good day right now. Whether it's just a one-off monthly just to try it out, or you can subscribe, begoodhealth.com.au.
And why not just read the 161 five-star reviews?
That's it.
161.
Make smart decisions. Take your nutritional health seriously. It's the least you can do. Punters and Dribblers, the podcast is brought to you by the best betting platform yarn around, and that is Neds. Get onto the Neds app. You're going to find the About Even Punting Group, our personal profiles, where I am hitting winners.
You're doing pretty well, Tom, and I'm proud of you.
Shout out to
all the punters and dribblers who secured tickets to our live show with Guru, May 17th, Lefty's Music Hall, Magic Round, ready to rip and tear.
Sold out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it did. It did sell out in 2 seconds. Shout out to Neds for putting it together. If you're going to have a punt this weekend, punters and dribblers, you've got to do it with Neds, as simple as that, because they're the best in the business. You know what I'm saying? And what a weekend to punt on Anzac Day into just long weekend festivities. No one works on the Friday. No one's bothering to work.
No one's working on the Friday, mate. But what we are doing is we're having a good, honest rugby league punt. And you can follow along in the About Even group. Secret code is Dribbler to get in there. Or you can follow the profiles on the Neds app. All possible. All good things.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Dude, my mother-in-law, love her to death. Well, this isn't even a negative thing about her. She has so little fucking respect for me as a man, it's not funny. Which is, like, reasonable. She... I think I said it on here one time, like at the end of last year when we were moving out of Bondi and I was having to fix a curtain in the house. Is that it? And I like fucking trying to drill it, and then she comes home and pulls the cord once and the whole thing falls down. And she's like, Stephanie, get handy, man. He can't do this. And I'm like, she's Croatian. That's why I did the accent. And then I also realized as I was trying to screw in the fucking curtain that I had the drill on reverse instead of going in, so like the screws weren't going in. I'm like, what the fuck? And then
should a YouTube tutorial,
dude. It's just fucking idiot, right? And then she came over the other day. She looks after Evie on Friday mornings, and she comes over and she's like, our front door squeaks, like nothing crazy, but like it creaks. She comes over with WD-40 and Steph's like laughing at me, so mum's got WD-40 for our door, and I'm like, oh cool. And then Steph comes out and goes, now, or even Marina might have, and just gone like, here's the WD-40, just fucking sprayed on the thing. And I'm like, yeah, cool, all right, don't worry, I got it. And then I, and then as I'm doing it, she walks out and goes, ooh, handyman, and then walks out of the room. I'm like, what the fuck? In my own home, but it was like so true. I'm just like, ooh. And it works, dude. WD-40 is legit.
Yeah, it is legit.
But yeah, I got put on the bitch mad by that's fucking the mother-in-law. And she was holding Evie as well, so it was like I'm getting shamed in front of Evie, but it was fucking funny. Anyway,
I had demasculating.
Emasculating. Unfortunately, you got that wrong and you sounded dumb, but that's all right.
Been up since 5.
Yeah, you've been up since 5. I mean, that's kind of the time I get up every day. So,
do you?
Well, now the cat starts waking me up. The cat.
You've rebonded, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. But when he wants to get out, it's like he's happy to sleep in the bed, which is cool. I'm cool with that. It's nice. The whole family's in the bed. Well, Evie when she's in. But then when he wants to go outside in the morning for a piss or a poo, he just knows that I'm the only one that's going to get up and do it. So he sits like right near me and he gets right into my ear and purrs real loud and then just delicately claws the bits of skin that haven't got like a t-shirt or like fucking clothes on it. And he just like just claws the skin and like headbutts you until you wake up. And I'm like, okay, dude, like I try and push him away, but like he knows this is how this motherfucker is going to get me up and get me outside. So he starts trying to get outside at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I'm always up. That's not the point, though. I tell you what is the point, Eddie. New South Wales, where the Blues, Queensland, you're going to lose. Ba-da-da-da, 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 ba-da-da-da-da.
Ba-da-da-da-da, 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 ba-da-da-da-da.
Now, famous victories?
Mate.
That's the most dominant New South Wales performance, I think, 1-2 in Queensland that's ever happened.
I was like, you know, you get a bit nervous before the game and you're always a little unsure of, you know, what's going to happen and it's up at Suncorp and the history and all that shit. And I was just like, I went back and I looked at that back line photo of all the fucking throbbers and yeah. I was like, who the fuck is going to handle these thoroughbreds?
No one.
Who is going to handle them?
I tell you who's not, and this is not a shot at Kurt Capewell, but Kurt Capewell is not going to handle them. Kurt Capewell isn't going to do it.
Kyle Felt's not
doing it.
Valentine Holmes isn't. Gagai's not.
Gagai was the only one that really tried in the fucking Queensland backline. Like
he had a crack.
He had a crack.
But he's not up to it.
No one's up to it.
Their right side defense got fucking pounded into the earth by one of the great thoroughbreds of all time, Latrell Mitchell.
Yes.
He had a fucking ball terror of a match.
Absolute ball terror. Teddy Tedesco going like, oh, y'all must have forgot. I'm still a fucking weapon. I'm still an absolute weapon. Man of the match performance.
Yeah.
But like everyone was good. But when you talk about like the New South Wales team, you go, Jerome Luai was like an unknown coming into this. Is he, you know, how does he go in, you know, not with his, in Penrith colours or like, can he handle the step up? Like he's been fucking fantastic.
Unbelievable. He's been
making breaks, doing this and that. Like
he just doesn't, he doesn't give a fuck. Like no. He just goes out there and rips. Like,
and
he's
rips.
Not overawed by the situation at all.
No.
He just pounds away. Like he was
under pressure. Like Tot was getting, they finally decided to kick some fucking high balls at him.
Had a couple of hairy moments, but like handled it. We defended our dicks off.
God save us. The defense was unbelievable. Like everyone showed up last night. No one really had a bad game. Queensland started well. Here we go. We're in for it here.
It was a good start.
Great start. But then after 10 minutes, you just hear, you know, the astute colour guys like Billy Slater and fucking Joey and shit being like, ooh, like the Queensland bigs are starting to, they're walking.
Yeah.
After 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, that ain't good.
They aren't up to the rigors of Origin football.
And then it starts to open up a little bit, and then we start to assert ourselves, and then there was a couple of like half chances and shit. I'm like,
the only chances that came through were for New South Wales. Like, the half chances that didn't end up eventuating, but it was only New South Wales. Like, Queensland didn't have fucking anything except for like, oh, you'd be like a kick in the air, like, ooh, nothing.
Yes.
That was all they had. Like, they just looked, they looked clueless. They had no fucking idea how to play rugby league. They had no idea how to attack. Like, they did nothing.
Nothing.
They did nothing.
They looked hopeless.
Yeah.
Absolutely pathetic. That was almost part of it last night, was like, Queensland over the last two games have got fucking annihilated. Like, it's 70-6, I think, is it? 76-6 collective, where you just go, oh, Jesus, like, this is starting to get like,
and the try they scored,
so one-sided.
The try they scored was Tommy Turbo slipping off a tackle. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that's almost like that doesn't happen very. It's like they didn't actually. Wasn't some well worked play? There's nothing. They just.
They haven't looked like scoring a single point other than that try they scored where Tommy slips over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, makes the tackle and Capel not a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just going, Jesus Christ, like. We need to put this beast out of its misery.
They're the worst.
Like, Queensland Rugby League needs to be euthanized.
They're the worst rugby league team, origin team ever. Now, everyone's like, well, you should last time. It's like, yeah, dude, we were off by fucking 8 months. That's all that was.
That's all that was. Look, and the timing through us, COVID year, like, it was just, we were a little off with the calculations. These things happen. When you're talking about the history of the universe, 13 billion years old, trying to nail it down to a specific moment, it's hard. Our models got close.
8 months is essentially correct. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like with the margin for error, it is correct.
Exactly. It is correct.
So we were right.
We were right. It was just that we were fucking, you know.
Bees dick off.
Bees dick off.
Now, I said it in the read, which you may have already heard, punters and dribblers, but I'm starting to think and really honestly believe that this squad, this 17 men, might be the best sporting team of all time.
Let that just hang in the air. Best sporting team of all time.
I mean,
in the history of man.
I mean,
just let it hang in the
history of mankind.
Let it hang.
In the history of man.
All time.
All time best side.
You've won.
You shut that. You shut the fuck up.
Hey.
One in a row.
It's our moment. It's our moment.
Let it hang in the air. Greatest sports team of all time.
Not even the best origin team of all
time. Are we ruling that out?
I don't think we rule that out. I just think when you look at the W's in the duffel bag,
yeah,
you go, I mean.
Could the 8 in a row side at their peak handle those boys?
Fuck no, dude.
No way, bro. Jesus.
Not for a second. GI is
a better version,
an Aldi of version of Tom Trbojevic. There, I said it.
It's been said. It's been said.
And that's no disrespect to Greg, who's close to my favorite player of all time. You're just not Tom Trbojevic. Or Latrell, you know what? You're an Aldi Trell.
Well, he's a poor man's Latrell.
Yeah,
he's a poor man's Latrell. Yeah. Which is no disrespect.
Billy Slater is a poor man's Teddy. No disrespect.
That's fine.
Oh, Thurston and who? Kronk.
Yeah. Cameron Smith is a poor man cook.
Yeah,
poor man's cook.
He's a
poor man's cook.
Cleary, obviously a rich man's Thurston.
Yep. And or Kronk. Obviously Luai and Lockie are probably on par. Would you say?
Well, listen, it's early on in Luai's career, so I'm saying if I'm tracking it, I'd say that Lockie is a poor man's Luai, and so
if
is
If you
Kronk.
Track it up.
If you were just tracking it.
Yeah.
And look, that's just based on, like, truth, you know? Like, it's not on anything sort of like...
Well, all we can do on this podcast, Tom, is tell the truth to the punter and the dribbler.
Yeah.
Tell it how we see it, and what I see is that last year was a COVID year, you write that off. We've basically won three in a row.
Yeah, we're going for our fourth.
And, you know, the 8-in-a-row streak's in big trouble.
You know what else is funny? Is that the Queensland It's the shortest reign in Origin history because they only had the shield for like 8 months as opposed to a year. So, like, they're losers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. No, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like, you know, you only had the fucking shield for 8 months. It's not even considered a real victory. You got to hold it for 12 months. Otherwise, it's not a thing.
No, 100%. Tough not out for the Queenslanders, though. Cherry Evans, like, he looked like a man who...
Well, he was broken.
He'd been snapped in half, like physically and mentally and emotionally.
But, well, like, I mean, him and Munster, and obviously Daly, when he plays for the Manly Warringah Seagulls, he is a friend to us and, you know, we love him. But when he's wearing Maroon of Queensland, with the greatest respect, it's fuck Daly Cherry Evans. Him and Munster didn't do shit. Now, their forwards looked weak as piss. Like, Queensland, they started well, but... They just sort of slipped into a fucking.
Well, they slipped. You know what I think happened, Tom? And this is just, you know, an astute rugby league mind.
Yeah. And so just stop what you're doing and tune in right now. Listen extra hard.
I thought after 10 minutes or 5 minutes even, doubt crept back into the Maroons.
Yeah.
The effort level went down and they sort of fell into a cycle of like, just reactivity, like reacting to what we do, trying to stop the throbbers, but not go, you know, there didn't seem to be any game plan of their own.
Well, really. Joey kept saying in commentary as well, he's saying the pockets of attack for New South Wales are just like overwhelming. It was like you've got left side, right side, then it was like
middle,
in the middle, the middle third, Corey Parker, but then just like all these little pockets of attack that are just like completely overwhelming. It's like if you have a wall of throbbers coming at you, much like a tidal wave or an avalanche of throbbers. I just thought because we're on terrestrial land that maybe avalanche of throbbers.
But I get that. But obviously,
you know,
the tidal wave comes onto shore and moves throughout the coastal town.
That's true. And it's almost like if you're on terrestrial land and you get an avalanche, a tidal wave of throbbers, you're out of your depth.
Yeah. If you don't climb a palm tree and climb on quickly.
Yeah. Assuming you live in a tropical area where palm trees exist.
Well, and that's where you see a lot of tidal waves historically, Tom.
Coastal areas.
Yeah. Palm trees.
Et al. But I'm saying that, you know, like tropical, like, you know, south coast of Australia has no palm trees. It's still, you're in a gum.
Yeah.
If tidal wave comes, you're in a gum.
Yeah. Look, we're getting bogged down. But it was important that we covered that.
If you've got a tidal wave of throbbers coming at me,
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, bro? Yeah. What are you going to do? What you saw last night was a pathetic bunch of Queenslanders trying their best not to get 50 put on them again. That's what I saw last night.
That was
night.
It. That was
I
the goal.
I didn't see a team that knew they could win or thought they could win or wanted to win. I saw a team that was like, if we get 50 put on us again, I might not sleep again. That's what I saw. I saw... losers out there. Now, that's with all the greatest respect in the world because, you know, we respect our Queensland brethren to a certain degree. But,
brethren.
You know, I'm fucking up today. But when it comes down to it, you're not on our level.
No, you're not on our level.
And it is what it is. Let's like, you know, Penrith, fucking an elite rugby league side in clubland. Bulldogs, not up to it.
No.
We're the Panthers. Yeah. You're the Bulldogs.
That's it. Well, we're Manly. They're the Bulldogs. I'd prefer. But
we're Manly. You're the Broncos.
Yeah.
That's I would almost say Queensland are like Manly pre-turbo this season.
Well,
no, I would say like the Broncos.
If they had their first choices, then the game would have been different. Kind of like what happened with Manly.
It wouldn't have been. It
wouldn't have been different.
What about this? We, without turbo, have won 2 games of rugby league. How many of the games have the Broncos won? I think 2.
Mm.
So like... We're not fucking worse.
Who would you need? So Ponga is really
you'd
it,
have
right?
Ponga, you'd have Harry Grant, you'd have Reid Marnie.
Right, but
do you reckon
Harry
that would have made a difference?
Right,
it would have made a difference.
You had Harry Grant in game one, and
he was dog
and
shit.
And he played 80 minutes after not playing any.
Yeah, you got
like
beaten 50-6.
Yeah, okay. Plus, get the fuck rid of Kyle Felt.
But he's your first choice fucking winger.
What? No, you.
He was the first winger picked.
Val Holmes goes back to the wing when Ponga goes to fullback. Val Holmes plays on the wing.
Right, but you Val Holmes was playing on the wing.
Obsessed with Kyle Felt. You think he's the best player of all time?
Kyle Felt was on the wing whether Val Holmes was fullback or not.
What about Coates?
Coates got dropped for Kyle Felt.
Because Paul Green doesn't know what he's doing.
So Kyle Felt was your first choice winger, which that's on you, dude. That's on you.
That's on Paul Green.
Queenslanders don't get Origin.
Fucking Ronaldo Mulatalo's from Portugal or wherever, so he can't play Origin.
Mate, you don't get Origin. In the first game, all I heard was, "Oh, fucking look how good our side is." You know, we've got fucking Harry Grant, we've got DCE, we've got Munster, like. Yeah. You got 50 put on you.
Yeah, yippee, yeah.
The fourth string fullback and third and fourth string hookers.
Do you honestly think that would have made a difference?
I think it would have made a difference.
Do you honestly think it would have made zero difference? I don't think
Val Holmes showed his immaturity by throwing that fucking ball that was never on and then Luttrell intercepts it. Maybe that doesn't happen if Pong is playing and maybe you don't get six less points, but you still lose and lose.
Lose well. I will say...
maybe though he might have thrown it.
So what is the difference then of the essentially 24 point makeup?
Okay, put it this way. Let me say
from
something.
From game one to game two.
Who do you put in the centers then? In a perfect world.
In a perfect world.
Who's your first choice centers?
First choice centers. Well, who's in this? Gagai probably stays.
Yep. All right.
Yep. And then, so that's first choice. He's there, right? He is already there.
Branko Lee.
Where's Branko Lee?
He's just come back from injury.
Why didn't you bring him in?
Because Paul Green...
He's not injured. You could have picked him.
Because, I don't know, they want Kirk Capel.
I will say this.
So for the first two games, you've picked the exact same center pairing.
I'm not sticking by Brent Curley. To mark,
two of the game's great thoroughbreds all time.
Yeah.
Since 1908, they may be...
the greatest center
the
pairing.
The two most pure thoroughbreds of all time.
Yeah.
And you've picked, in consecutive games... Gagai and Kurt Capewell of back rower fame to defend them.
Yeah. You're right there.
You don't get Origin.
Yeah. We'll just fucking toughen up. We'll be right.
Queensland get Origin.
We'll pick a different winger. Okay.
Paul Green or Jonathan Thurston carrying him to his only premiership.
Yeah, Paul Green. I think that's... yeah. A lot of Queenslanders are now starting to go like, who the fuck's Paul Green? You know what I mean? Like without JT, someone said that. They go, I'd love to know the stats. Maybe random stats guy or Michael Pride can do it. But like, what's Paul Green's win percentage without Jonathan Thurston playing? He doesn't look like he knows what the fuck he's doing.
They had Paul Green and Neil Henry in the coach's box.
That's what you want. Neil Henry never won a comp as a coach.
We all know, everyone knows.
Neil Henry's got less than a 50% win rate as a coach.
That's who you want.
Everyone knows that when it comes to Origin, it's about boying the boys.
Yeah.
You need a boyer. That's why Mal did so well. That's why Freddie does so well. You need some of the boys. Wayne Bennett. Some of the boys, the boys.
Gus Gould.
Are you telling me you'd follow Paul Green into battle?
Paul Green of brings club footy tactics to Origin game fame. He ain't boying nobody. Dude, in his press conference, which I watched... at fucking 11:30 last night, after thinking Channel 9, we're going to play it on air because that's how they teased it, and then they never did, and then the broadcast finished, and I'm sitting there at fucking 11:30 going, why am I still here? He was bereft of ideas. He sat there and he was like, the amount of questions he just answered, I don't know, to was like, oh, bruh, this is not what you want. And Cherry was given more answers. Cherry's like, yeah, we probably need to change our game plan. Maybe fuck this guy off, hey?
Mate, at halftime they were like, so, you know, Paul, like, what do you think of the second half? Are you going to stick to the game plan or are you going to toss things up? And he goes, oh, yeah, mate, probably a bit of both.
Yeah, terrific. Well, I hope that was your speech to the players at halftime because that was as vague and uninformative as we've come to expect.
And you were just like, holy fuck, this guy has no fucking answers.
No.
At all.
Nothing. What do you do?
As evidenced by, and I keep going on about it because it makes no fucking sense, Tom and Luttrell had a fucking field day in game one. And you picked the exact same centre pairing to defend them. It doesn't make any sense.
And they ended, not just that, Queensland ended up with the same back five as game one when Coates came into the squad.
Yeah.
So they literally made no change.
Literally nothing changed because Ronaldo got fucking... Yeah. So they literally just went back. Everything was the same. And you know what? They didn't score as many points, but you'd probably put that down to like the fucking Papali coming in. Maybe. I don't know, but like they played better. They didn't really play better, but that's sad.
They started better.
First time they've been held to nil at Suncorp.
Uh-huh. Ever.
I love that. That's a fuck you to Queensland. I tell you what else is crazy, and I feel like now we have to stop saying it. Eight in a row. The last one of those was 2013, right? So that's almost 10 years ago. Like, it's like me losing, it's like Manly losing on the weekend and me going, 2011. 2011, we had a fucking good team. We won the comp that year. Like, yeah, dude, we get it. We know that was a great run of Origin football for your side. But that was 10 years ago. Yeah, but eight straight. Yeah, dude, we get eight straight. Yeah. But we just beat you 50-6 and 26-0 to nil in Suncorp. Back-to-back Queensland games. You tried to stack the deck against us. You then picked the exact same side and fucking Paul Green as coach, and we're beating the shit out of you.
I would say this.
Fuck eight in a row.
I would say this. If you rock up to an Origin series, okay, you do nothing after you lose 50-6, you've already picked Paul Green as coach. If you think that saying eight in a row at the door on the way into the ground is going to get you a win, it's not.
You don't get
Origin. You've got to go out and win the game to win the game. Do you know what I mean? You saying eight in a row doesn't count as a win.
No. Eight in a row, eight straight, eight in a row. Yeah, dude. Sure.
Like if
but
you,
like,
if
you need to win tonight.
If you guys don't fix this shit, we could win 10 in a row.
Yeah.
And then you saying eight in a row is going to look a bit stupid.
You could say eight in a row for 10 years. And then you sound dumb. And we get it. You're not big maths guys and girls up there, but like, fuck. And then you're like, I don't know whether there's obviously just beating Queensland is satisfying, right? Obviously that's satisfying.
Well, it warms the heart, Tom.
But listening to Queensland legends, those who have done it and won for their state, something Queensland don't currently understand how to do, Cam Smith, Billy Slater, Fatty Vaughton, all just like basically, you know, like you're hearing depressed individuals on air broadcasting. Oh, mate,
you could hear, like Joey was like, where are the points coming from, Billy? And he's like, oh, you just got to get the ball to Munster.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they're setting up here. They're going,
No. Val Holmes just did a fucking grubber kick.
I think just dropped it.
That literally had the grubber kick, one bounce and then dead.
Yeah, like, on third tackle.
Yeah. Great play.
Like, oh, no, it's fifth tackle. Oh, they're just going to do a one-out pass short ball.
Yeah, here we go.
It was good stuff.
We put it on our gram. Fatty Vaughton coming back from an ad break or something on Channel 9, and he didn't know his mic was live yet, and he goes, and it was just before James Bracey came in, and Fatty just goes, why are we even bothering with a game three? And then James Bracey goes, welcome back to Friday Night Football, the Blues win, or whatever the fuck it is, welcome back to Origin. And Fatty's just going, why the fuck are we even playing game three? You're like, that is Queensland spirit seeping out of them, basically. That's fucked if you're.
You don't want to hear that from your legends.
From your legends. And they had no answers.
We may as well not play the third game because we know we got swept.
Just the masturbatory pro-New South Wales rhetoric going on as well was so good. Tell you what, Rabs was in form last night. Rabs, obviously, you know, an ornament to the game of rugby league, and, you know, he's used a little more sparingly. But hearing him full-throated, screaming out fucking, you know.
There's a couple of moments where he like sort of like, I don't know if he's looking elsewhere or he's like just slows down a bit. Where like when Latrell got that fucking, when he stole the ball off Welsh, the 1-on-1, he just like didn't address it. And then someone was like, is he going to talk about it? Okay. And then I was like, I think Joe was like, oh, he's fucking stolen the ball.
I think it would be a little bit of like awareness, right? Like he's probably just not as sharp. Well, he's definitely not. You can't be as sharp.
Of course he's not. Yeah,
you can't be as sharp.
There was another one where they penalised Cameron Murray for being in front of the play the ball, and New South Wales ran away and scored, and Rabs was just like commentating the try.
Yeah, he called the whole thing. But I think that's also a little bit more like, because I heard that as well, should have been a try, even though technically it shouldn't have been.
By the rule book,
it shouldn't be, but you know. But like, I think the reason he did that was because if eventually it got deemed a try, he would be thinking like Origin highlight memory shit, like let's just call the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And stay with the play rather than if he's like, oh, no, it's a penalty. And then they go, oh, actually, it was a try. Then you miss out on that, like, sick bit of commentary. But the fucking whole game started with that huge hit from Jai Arrow. So, like, the first bit of commentary you heard was Rabs going, me and my old man were laughing last night. He called me up and he was like, he just goes, the first thing Dad says to me, he goes, oh! Because it was like, that was the first thing Rabs did when Jairo fucking pumped Payne Haas or whoever. And he's like, that was the first fucking thing Rabs said all game. How good. Oh! Now, as we said, 26-0. I mean, as a coach, Eddie, obviously the points are pleasing, but I am more happy with the
donut, mate. Yeah. Well, look, you and I went up to Kingscliff during the week and we spoke at length about, you know, donuts. Turning up for each other and earning donuts, yeah. And what that means for your legacy.
Yeah.
A couple of donuts on the resume go a long way in this sport, in this contest.
Donuts consumed.
Yeah. And I'm just glad that our message got across.
It did. And I mean, if it weren't for a statistical anomaly in game one, it would have been back-to-back donuts.
Look, I'm prepared to scrub Capel's try. I think most people would agree with me based on the fact that Tommy slipped over and he never usually does. I'm prepared to say that it's 76-0. Can we go to Sydney and earn another donut?
Yeah.
I'm not ruling it out. The line's 18.5 already. That's going to keep climbing. I reckon by game day, if we've got a dry track, punters and dribblers, we might be looking at a 24-point line.
Yeah, right. Maybe even higher.
Maybe higher.
Maybe 50-point start.
It might be our first ever 50-point start. You know what? If they pick Gagai and Capel in the centres again...
50 points.
50 points. Fucking put the house on it.
Now, can we talk about what was potentially one of the greatest bed shits in Origin history around Ronaldo Mulitalo?
I think we have to, Tom. We have to address the big issue.
That was... Obviously, I feel very sorry for Ronaldo, because that's a...
Let's start there. That's a fucking cunt of a time to get told.
Dude. Dreams ripped away from you on game day.
Dashed to the wind.
Who the fuck allows that to happen? Firstly, like Queensland Rugby League are obviously constantly trying to get players who are ineligible to play for them because they despise developing their own talent because they're a bunch of fucking weak dogs.
Now, let's address this. First and foremost, Ronaldo came to this country when he was 14. The rules...
Or 13 in 10 months.
But the rules state you've got to be here by 13, right? Now... You might say to yourself, what the fuck? Like, that's ridiculous. Let me just backtrack on something and remind you all of a couple of things.
Take us back, Ed.
There was a time, and I'm talking about the GI years, where the selection criteria were fucking ambiguous, like super ambiguous, and people didn't like the grey. People didn't like the grey at all. So what they tried to do was clean it up with rules like... You've got to fucking be in the country by 13. There's a number of other rules around, like where you played your junior footy and that sort of shit. But there are specific cutoff dates. Why? To try and bring clarity to the issue. That's why they're there. Mm. Because before, everyone fucking whinged and complained. And you got people like Greg Inglis, who was born and raised in fucking Taree.
Maxville.
Until he was like 19.
Israel Flower was born in Minto.
Exactly. That's what we wanted to clean up, and that's what the rules are for. So don't fucking come out now being like, this is fucking ridiculous. It's like, no. Queensland Rugby League should have been on top of this.
Yeah.
And if they were a little unsure, they should have broached the issue, I don't know, years ago?
Now, I think one of the things is, so if you listen to former Queensland coach Paul Green... he was like, the way he explained it after in the post-match press conference was like, all the eligibility shit is done by the NRL. So when you sign your NRL contract and you state your eligibility, that is all NRL. All Queensland's provided with is a database of what players are available, and Mulitalo's on that fucking database. So it's
an NRL fuck-up.
So I think it's an NRL fuck-up, at least from what Paul Green, who we can't necessarily take as gospel right now, just in the current situation, but that's what he says.
Because he played all his, like, under-16 Queensland, under-18.
I played 16.
I would say to that, though, is that 16, I don't think people are checking 16, 18, 20s, really. You know what I mean?
No, but they should be.
They should be checking, but I'm saying I can see how that one slipped through the cracks. Look, it's a cunt of a situation. Make no mistake.
I personally...
But he is, by the letter of the law, ineligible.
I personally...
I would have let him play.
I would have let him play. I think 100%. It's, I think
if he
that
played,
is just,
you guys were done.
Oh, yeah. If Ronaldo Mulitalo played,
I would have looked at the situation and gone, is he a threat? Nah. Like, who gives a shit? That's how I would have played it last night.
I don't know, like, because I think it was the New South Wales Blues CEO.
But apparently he was alerted to it because Queensland Rugby League put up a post saying when Ronaldo came to the country, and they were like, hang on.
Yeah. Well, no, some dribbler noticed. Some dribbler then informed a journo, and then I think the journo it came through like a journo to New South Wales Rugby League. Then New South Wales Rugby League went and fucking lodged like a formal complaint, which I think is fucking
I think ridiculous. It's over the top.
It's a scaredy cat move.
Well, I don't know about scaredy cat because we the fuck out of you.
You know what? I think it rattled you.
It did rattle you. It rattled the fuck out of Queensland.
It was like, oh, these cunts aren't fucking around. Like, it's pretty dark.
Well, it's like ruthless origin.
Yeah. It's ruthless.
Folklore sort of shit.
It's ruthless shit. And Queenslanders won't forget it. We know that for sure. But I think it was a little harsh.
I think that was probably the only reason Queensland started off playing well was because they were playing on pure rage. And then, obviously, that's not sustainable. Rage-based rugby league, not sustainable.
Well, look, have you ever seen a marathon winner win an Olympic medal based on rage?
No. You can't run on rage.
No, you can't run on rage.
Maybe
you can
for
run
a sprint.
Meters, yeah. 200 metres, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even think you can run 400 metres on rage.
No. There's a certain... No, 400 on rage? No way. You'd have to be pissed off.
No, I reckon 150.
I reckon 150 is probably where you max out rage. 200 if you're elite at bottling rage. But
well, you've got to be elite at bottling rage. Not many of them around.
Tom. No, and certainly not Queensland.
200 if you're Mulatalo after getting told he
can't. He would have gone 200.
Mulatalo could probably fucking do 200 in a pinch
rage. Point is, he would have run out.
Yeah. Puff. But I think that's what happened with Queensland, right? They started bottled rage, and then they expended all of the rage reserves within the first 10 to 15, and then they were fucked.
But as a New South Welshman proud through and through, I think it was a little ruthless.
I think it was a bit much.
I think it was a little
much. I think it was a little bit much. And the NRL were like, and I get it, the NRL were like, we can't actually really give an exemption on this shorter notice. I would have just gone, fuck it.
I would have gone. Exemption. Let's not worry.
The problem is if he fucking ripped, like that's the problem. If he fucking scored three tries and Queensland win, you're going, that is bullshit. Like, and when New South Welshman, we'd be sitting here going, this is one of the great travesties in Origin history.
Yeah.
But I think that's also
I don't think we would have done it.
The beauty of being sort of atop the Origin heap, is that you can be like, we actually are merciful.
When you're polishing up another shield, Tom, you can
be merciful. You can be merciful. But if we'd lost, then I would have had zero mercy. I would have called for heads to roll.
Of course, but we're not doing that. No. We're spit shining another shield.
Yes.
You see what Chris Close said about Ronaldo?
No.
In his heart, he believes he's a Queenslander, and that's all that
should
matter.
Oh, choppy Close. In his heart, he believes he's a Queenslander. That's all that should matter. Right, so he identifies as a Queenslander.
I'm with him on that.
Yeah, exactly. Of course he is. Fucking him and D.O.
That's
Dave.
So funny. That's how you...
That's the most dribbly statement.
That's how you should fucking define supporters as well. Like D.O. Dave goes for Queensland, but wouldn't be able to play for him.
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not eligible to go for Queensland, dude.
You're not eligible.
No, but I feel like a Queenslander in my heart. Yep, cool. Not in the rules, though.
Not the rules. The same eligibility criteria should be applied to support.
But that's only for Origin, really, though, right? Because you can't do
of course.
For teams.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I thought you were just talking about teams generally.
Dude, you can get for whatever team you want. It doesn't matter.
But Origin.
Yeah.
Origin. Wow. Yeah, Dave, you can't identify as a Queenslander.
So where to now? Let's go here because this could be interesting. I'm hearing whispers, Tom. Obviously, we have, we know people at the tippy top.
Yeah.
Insert name here. You know who I'm talking about. Hearing whispers that Sydney might be at risk for game three.
Yeah.
Thinking about taking it to Newcastle. I fucking love it.
Well, that's what we've been calling for anyway.
I've been calling for it anyway, Tom. I think that we need to reward the people of the Hunter for their terrific support to the code and to the team over the years. And I think what better victory parade than to put another 50 on Queensland in front of the Novocastrians?
Yeah, so I think the thing that they were saying was Andrew Abdo of NRL CEO fame, a half. So I think the lockdown here... As it currently stands, who knows how the old dribbler variant progresses.
Yeah. I've got a hunch we'll be in it for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like we might be as well. If we are, then it goes to Queensland. But even if we come out on the ninth, not Queensland. Sorry, could go to Newcastle.
Imagine if we had three games.
I kind of don't mind that. Let's knock them off three times in a row in Queensland.
Someone was like, have a game at Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Knock off every fucking big city up there and just go, holy fuck, we are the greatest side of all time.
The greatest side of all time. Three Queensland venues and we pump you in all three.
I almost like that.
I like that as well. There is way better narrative. Have it in the Gold Coast. Like, have it in Newcastle if you want, sure. But have it at Cbus Super Stadium and we just flop our big blue cocks onto...
I don't think the boys' shafts would fit in that stadium. It's not big enough.
You know what? That's fine. We'll leave the shafts at the door.
Yeah. Take your shafts off.
You won't even need to. I think you just sort of run around with it attached. You can just only stay in one position like a foosball player. Otherwise, everyone's tripping over dicks.
Yeah.
You can go forward and back. That's all
rugby league.
Yeah, forward and back, and a little bit of lateral movement.
Yeah, a little bit of lateral, but nothing much.
Nothing crazy though. Because look,
we could. If you put our boys on a foosball table, we'd still dominate.
Yeah, fucking oath.
Even if you're running in that very predictable
just channels.
Manner,
yeah, yeah.
Because we'll run over the top of you. But yeah, I like that narrative, Tom. I like both of them. I like the victory parade at Newcastle. I like winning three games in Queensland. Never been done before. Won't be done again. Because of the circumstances, obviously. I think that's a nice little fucking...
Bow. Obviously, we're going to sweep them, and that's what I'm excited for as well, is the first...
Get the brooms out. We haven't swept in a long time.
We haven't swept, I think, the early 2000s, and I think Queensland only swept once in their oat straight. So a sweep's hard to come by, but I would say that this might be one of the most locked-in sweeps.
When was our last sweep?
2000. So we've been waiting for a fucking while.
21 years for a sweep.
And you know what? This is the Queensland equivalent of us. Like, we may as well still be on. We swept in 2000. It's like, yeah, cool, dude. Cool.
No, we're not claiming that.
Sorry. 2013?
When
like,
did we
what
stop
was the world
that?
Like in 2013 when you got your eighth?
No idea.
Completely fucking different. Who gives a shit?
I don't even know.
Forget that. Yeah, there was the eight, and then there was one, like, New South Wales win that didn't really count, and then there was another three in a row. So it was
really
11 from 12. Finishing 11
from 12, right. So you know what you're sounding like now? Yeah, now you sound like Penrith going, we're undefeated in regular season games. Like, cool, dude. Cool.
But not in bye games.
And in grand finals when it counts.
Like, you're still one in a row against the second string Queensland side.
Well, we're two in a row. We just won two games.
Well, you're one series.
Oh, one series. Well, yeah, I mean,
We're 3 and 4 years.
Oh, so now we're talking 3 and 4.
No. And essentially, we won last year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Look,
Queensland team.
No, this is the worst Queensland team.
Yeah, but last year was the worst Queensland
team. No, mate, in the history of the universe, the 8 months is the margin for error.
The margin for error is probably a million years, but we've gone down to 8 months.
So we said that at the start of the show.
You're obviously not listening.
Yeah, no.
You're obviously not listening again. That's all right.
Back in your box there. But
so what does this all mean for the punter and the dribbler?
We're going to sweep them, is what it means.
Get your brooms out. That's what we're saying.
Do you have a broom, Dave?
I do own a broom.
Okay, well you'll have to come in family, here but... dressed in a maid's outfit with a broom,
a little dress on, and a little thong,
French maid,
little thong.
Yeah, we'll give you. You can shave your legs if you want.
Yep, it's up to you.
It's encouraged, just aesthetically. I think you'll look nicer. But
I think so. I think you look much nicer.
A couple of things before we move on from Origin. And my God, it's been nice to...
I'm just checking my notes as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
While you continue to dribble into yarn, Tom.
Just in the lead up to this game, Danny Widler dropped an article, I think yesterday, about Francis Molo. So obviously there was a horrible story a few years ago. Francis Molo playing in like the Queensland Cup. He put a hit on this guy. I think his name was Sonny Ackerman. The guy died.
James Ackerman.
James Ackerman?
Yeah.
Mm. Horrible story. Obviously, that's bad. Like, obviously, that's sad, right? Like, that's terrible. But that's the sort of thing that would haunt Francis Molo and the family of fucking James Ackerman. Danny decides to drop the yarn on game day. Like, and it was like, you know, he gets to live his dream while we're still living a nightmare. And you're like, what the fuck is the point of that article? That just seems like it's unfair to fucking... Francis Molo, like it's like, I'm not saying, obviously the family's experience and how they're going is important, right? Like no one's trying to dismiss the way they are feeling, but like on the day of Origin, to drop an article like that, that was sort of like, it just seems so classless and tacky and shit, and just like you've got nothing else to write about on the day of fucking Origin to like pump up the game and
there's
get everyone
million,
fucking jacked.
There's a million,
things you could write about, and you've decided to go down that. Like, I even think that you could just like you could write about it in the lead up maybe to the week and just go like Francis Molo, you know, this, how's the Ackerman family, you know, maybe just but like it was just so scat. And I just, and we had a fucking heap of people sending it to us as well, but just, I just saw that I'm, you know, like, there are many things that journos do that are like scat, tacky, whatever, but like, usually they're in a bit of the vein of the like rugby league humor realm. But then when you see that, you're like, that is just fucking classless, I thought. And like, disappointing when you talk about like trying to, you know, put the game in the best light and it's like literally Origin 2 day. And that's what Weidler's going with. You're just like, Jesus Christ, dude. What a fucking dribbler.
What a dribbler. What a, I don't know what you say to that.
No, there's not much else. I just wanted to say that. The other one I thought was funny, though, was, which was in the P's and D's chat, Dobbo from Queensland. Did you see that? So Dobbo, who's like the Channel 9 sports reporter on in Queensland. He's also got like a radio show on Triple M. I know him. I used to work with him when I was working at Triple M. Nice dude. But he was on one of the Triple M.
Oh, trying to fucking hurt.
Yeah. But like, so he was on the one of the Triple M shows in Brisbane, and he's like, you know, what Queensland really need to do is get someone like Tino, who, you know, the Titan season's over, just get into Tino's ear and just say, like, mate, just fucking get into Tommy Early, get him out of the game. Who gives a shit if you get a 10-week suspension? Yeah. Like, you listen to the audio of him saying that in what is clearly a person not speaking seriously, because no one speaks like that, right? Like, no one is...
We would have said similar shit.
Of course we would. But, like, no one is seriously calling for that. And it's not like it's a fucking funniest joke you've ever heard. I'm not saying it, but, like, no one thinks that a man is serious when they're saying that. Now, whoever these fucking losers are who listen to radio, like, just... And call up and complain, like, he got... overload, like there were so many fucking complaints where the next day he had to come out and be like, I was joking, like sorry, like tweeting out jokes and shit. Ray Hadley goes on his morning show and fucking roasts him for like 5 minutes, going like, plays the audio, and then he's like, you're not very funny, mate, you think you're fucking funny, like, you know, if you want to be funny like Daryl Broman, da, 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 like, and just like absolutely pillars him. And I'm like, and then he has to come out and apologize again and, like, apologize to Turbo's family and shit. I'm
oh
like,
my God.
Bro.
When did people get so fucking serious?
And that's what's, that's what's crazy is you got someone like Ray Hadley, who's the most anti-PC fucking man on the planet.
And yet being so fucking PC.
And yet being so fucking PC about this and just going in on Dobbo. And you're like, dude, this is fucking insanity.
Bro, I just Googled Ray Hadley apology and there's just too many results. Like, this man is no stranger to controversy.
He just Googled Ray Hadley apology. That's it as well.
There's like what, 700 Google pages?
Yeah, the irony of someone like him going, and like he went so hard on him. He was just like bagging him out so hard, which again, like whatever. But you're just going like, this is, apparently I heard that it was just that Hadley was dirty because his show got taken off some of the Triple M regional stations. They just didn't. They switched him out for someone else and he's just salty. I wouldn't have a fucking clue if that's true or not. But like,
who the fuck knows?
But it was just like such an unnecessary swipe at him in what was so clearly a joke.
If you're gonna have a like if you see an opportunity to have a crack at Dubbo there, Ray Hadley, you gotta do it in a like with a bit of jest, you know what I mean? Like have a fucking giggle back.
Rather than trying to make it serious.
Such a fucking serious cunt.
Yeah.
Because it's very shit energy to be around.
Yes.
And I don't want to sound woo-woo when I say that, but it's like, it's a bit gross.
Yes.
It's like, bro, relax. Like, you are very intense and I need you to bring it down a couple of fucking levels because you're ruining my day. Listening to you is putting me on edge. I'm now anxious and I don't know why.
That's like, calm the mentality down. Of like aggression and
it's like road rage when some cunt's fucking losing it because he missed the yellow or something.
Yeah, it's almost like Hadley's show is recorded.
Whoa, bro. Whoa.
Hadley's show is
the horn.
Someone's just recorded a guy in his car having road rage is Ray Hadley's show.
Mate, the horn shouldn't be used unless someone's on their phone and you're like, hurry up.
Yeah,
mate.
Exactly. Just hurry a little.
If you're a big user of the horn, like in rage, I think you need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah. But it rates well. on radio. Because old people love it.
Well, yeah. Well, because that's because old people, and I've never really understood this. I don't know what it's about. I could be generalizing here. That's generally what we do. Old people seem to get more pissed off as they get older. Shouldn't you get more relaxed?
No, I think maybe they, like the fuse shortens after like a certain amount of years dealing with dead shits. I can understand that. But I feel like Hadley's always been like, had hand on the horn.
He's been on the horn his whole life.
He's never taken the fucking hand off the horn. And his response to Dobbo exemplified that because I was like, this is crazy town. And if you're one of the fucking losers who complain, firstly, you are just so beyond help in terms of being able to understand when someone's being serious or not. But also like, hey, don't be a fucking loser who complains and calls up like radio and be like, that's fucking disgraceful.
People commit significant hours out of their life to complaining about shit.
Bro.
And you're listening to Triple M and complaining about like, essentially complaining for PC culture. Like,
why are you listening to Triple M?
Triple M's meant to be a bit more fucking, you know, like...
If you are offended by that sort of shit, then you've gone looking for it. You're like, I'm going to go to the Yobbo station and I'm going to fucking listen for Yobbo shit. I'm going
to
complain.
That's Ned Flanders watching, like, the films at his house and then writing to the things. There's a Simpsons episode where he just complains to, like, every news show about
it. Well, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that it's Christians, but Christians, I think... love to complain.
Well, they're easily offended, the Christian.
Not to say that this is a Christian situation here, but...
They'll defend Cardinal Pell, but they'll complain about Dobbo.
About Dobbo,
you know what I mean? Fucking Dobbo needs to be stopped. Dobbo. Protect Cardinal Pell.
Oh shit. Is that Origin?
Yeah, that's Origin. So Tom, I don't know if any of our listeners are going to know this, but the A-League Grand Final was actually on yesterday.
Dude, when you came in here and said that, I was shocked. Because all I was thinking over the weekend was like, there's nothing on. Like, unfortunately, lockdown and a rugby league bye week waiting for Origin.
Mate, Sydney FC was in the grand final. And people in New South Wales were like, well, Sydney specifically here, being like, there's nothing on. There's nothing to watch.
Who?
Like, it was not promoted at all. And the higher-ups at the FFA, get out a fucking calendar. Like, how did you not see Origin on that night?
Dude, that is crazy. What?
There's been bye week. We're in bye weekend territory. Pick a bye week.
Put it on Saturday.
pick a bye weekend. Or
Saturday, just do a day earlier.
Wide open.
Saturday had nothing on. I might have even watched it. Probably not.
But you might have.
I might have.
There was nothing on.
The same day as Origin. You imagine just being the FFA guys. Like, oh, maybe we'll get a bit of coverage in the news cycle though Sunday morning. Then you wake up, Ronaldo Molitano kicked out of fucking Origin for eligibility. It's like, oh, you're not going to get covered in any sort,
mate.
Whole weekend, no one's talking about it.
Like,
who won?
Melbourne City won 3-1 or 4-1, something like that. But like, then they'll turn around and go, "Whoop, the ratings are down this year." It's like, what? Who is running that fucking mess?
I would love to know what their explanation is.
Like next year, for example, Origin, they've abandoned the Sunday time slot. They go back to 3 Wednesdays. Why? Because they basically gave the AFL this whole weekend.
Yes.
They get Thursday, they get Friday, they get Saturday of uninterrupted fucking...
Wall-to-wall AFL.
Wall-to-wall AFL, right? Not good for the code. So they're fucking that off and they're going back to, you know, competing pub,
yes,
you know, pound for pound. This was their last opportunity, the A-League, to get a fucking, to get a free little window, yeah, you know what I mean? And they just go, fuck it, let's put it on an hour before Origin and see if that rates.
No, because I think what it'll do is, right, the bloody will get the lead in, everyone's watching the A-League Grand Final, and then bang, onto the Origin. It's like, no, dude, you know what actually happens is that...
People have dinner, and then...
People have dinner and get prepared, or like Fox Sports start their coverage an hour before because they don't get the game, so people will just watch the fucking Origin build-up.
Yeah, I cooked dinner until 7 o'clock and ate, and then I watched the fucking hour lead up. Yeah. That's what I did.
That's how you do
it. I wasn't like, well, better watch the A-League and we'll eat. Dale, we'll eat after the Origin.
No, we'll eat after the fucking game because the A-League's on and then New South Wales and Queensland are playing and then, you know, like, no, sorry, with the greatest respect. That's one of the more bonehead moves in all administration time. History.
Just an absolute shocker. While we're on shockers, Tom, this is like a shocker segment.
Yeah, yeah. Shockers with Tom and Eddie.
Tour de France started the other day.
Oh, bro.
So, stage one.
this was the dumbest fucking thing.
Some dickhead trying to get his placard, his card.
I think it was
TV.
A Sheila.
I think it was a guy.
It looked like a woman.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
But they're still looking for, like, the actual person to, like, arrest them or find them.
Well, mate, I'd be up in the hills.
Yeah, you'd be hiding. I mean, I'm not surprised. She could be dead. Such was the chaos that she caused.
So, for clarity, if you haven't seen it, look it up. She or he is basically...
Yeah, it was a she.
It was a she. Yeah. She is fucking sticking her fucking her placard, her card out.
Facing the
camera. Facing the camera, trying to get on TV, not looking that the Peloton, in all its fucking glory, 10, 12 wide and fucking 50 deep, is powering towards her.
It reminded me of The Lion King when Mufasa, when all of that herd's running through that valley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it was like.
This is wildebeest stuff.
Yeah.
And fucking clips a rider and brings down, like, the whole Peloton.
Dude, that rider got run over by... everyone in that thing. And then it was just full pile.
It's like bikes going over his neck and head and shit. Yeah.
It was like the epitome of what is wrong with, and if I can sound like an old 32-year-old man, but like just the look at me generation of like, let me get on camera with this fucking sign. Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at where the Peloton's coming from, you fucking idiot.
Look, if your whole MO was to get on TV.
You got it. You done. No.
Go down to fucking Parliament House and I'm sure there'll be a reporter down there and you can just stand behind them.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do. Like, were you there for the bike racing or the fucking cameras? Because if it was for the cameras, then easier places to
tell
go.
Tell you what, though, if your goal was to go viral, she gone viral.
Oh, I mean, if that was the play, then you've done well, but probably viral for the wrong
reason. Was there any serious injuries off the back of that, Dave? Can you just check?
There was a couple. That Peloton actually came down again in this final sprint home.
Yeah,
the sprint home gets really hairy, McClary. People start to jostle for position and shit. And there was another crash, and like a couple of guys have had to retire. Again, the whole Peloton comes down. And it just makes me think to myself, these guys are fucking savages.
Yeah.
Going as quick as they do, wearing little Lycra shorts, coming down onto fucking hard asphalt and getting ridden over the top of by like 70 blokes. It sounds like utter hell.
It sounds like hell. Yeah, it's funny because I have always found the Tour de France to be quite a low energy experience for me when trying to engage in it. But I do know
there's a lot of test cricket about it in the sense that like not a lot happens, but a lot is happening.
Yes.
I used to stay up back before.
Well, we did it. We used to watch it even when we lived together at uni. Well,
when you're at uni and you stay up till 3 o'clock every morning.
Smoking billies.
And living your life. I used to love watching it because it would go to like 2 o'clock. I used to fucking love it. I can barely watch the start now. I'm basically in bed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah.
I used to fucking love the Tour because of the way that it's sort of just like, you know, you're just looking at nice sort of scenery
and
just sort
of coastline
and then shit happens every
now and then. Is Phil Liggett still doing the damn thing?
Well, when I was watching it, because I know back in the day, the first half used to be like the domestic shit Australian commentators.
Check
it,
Phil
Liggett
still commentates.
And then they'd go to Phil for the back end.
Yeah.
So I don't know if when I was watching it was just too early for Phil or if Phil's no longer with us. I don't know.
I mean, Phil was probably...
Is Phil with us still?
No, Phil's still with us. I don't think Phil's passed.
Phil is still with us.
Thank God.
Just go Phil Liggett SBS.
Yeah.
7%.
But yeah, so that, I mean, I think we're just talking to that bitch, obviously, respectfully.
Yeah.
Knocking over an entire Peloton. But I will try and consume a little more of the... Tour, but again, like it's fucking, as you said, it's late at night. Like,
I hope they've still got the. They used to do like a half an hour review show every night, which is like a condensed version.
That's probably too hard for me to watch.
Yeah.
Even though they're like giving you the highlights, it's like.
It's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic for me to sit around and watch a half an hour cycling
at dinner time.
At dinner time. review show.
As much as you liked it.
As much as I'd love to, that's just not going to happen. But he's not calling it.
He's not calling it anymore.
They got rid of Phil, the greatest voice of all time in cycling.
He used to call it with the other dude, Paul Sherwin.
Yeah, right? I remember. Yeah.
Paul Sherwin passed away.
Did he?
So I think they just kind of retired that combination.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
So what?
Phil Liggett is the GOAT.
Phil is the man.
He's the Ray fucking Warren of cycling. He's the David Attenborough of cycling.
He's the David Attenborough of cycling. That's fucking crazy. What a waste of a voice. What's that fucking voice doing?
Look, I'll give you the hot tip. If the dead shits I heard the other night are his replacement, worst call all time.
Can you just Google what's Phil Liggett doing now? Because if he's just sitting at home like commentating around the house, that's a waste of a voice. I don't know how old Phil is. Maybe he's like, you know what?
Phil'll be getting on.
Phil Liggett, he is 77.
Okay.
Not that old.
Well, it's not that young either.
Well, what kind of... He could be in great nick, though.
Sure, but he's definitely, like, on the 14th, 15th hole.
Ray's
in his 80s, I think.
Yeah, it's not saying much about what he's up to these days.
Actually, there's no way Ray's in his 80s.
He was defending Lance Armstrong.
Can you see how old Ray Warren is?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's in his late 70s.
I think he's 81.
Is he really?
He's 78.
There you go. Thank you very much. I know my Rabs. Dior's got a video for us of Conrad Harrell or some shit.
Yeah,
look, what, on the chong?
Playing for Leeds.
I don't think it's on the chong, no. I don't think he's on the chong. Can you turn it so I can see it as well, Dave? Or is this like, do I matter?
The look you just gave me there.
When I was like, I did?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you said, is he on the chong? Is this, can you just give us some context to what we're watching?
Conrad Harrell currently playing for Leeds Rhinos in the Super League. This is a video I saw this morning about an incident that happened to him, which will become clear after you watch it.
Sweet. Oh! Cuz. He got fucking dropped.
Yeah.
Go again? Oh! Holy hell.
That guy can fucking throw. Who is that?
He fucking landed him, didn't he?
Who is that number four?
I'll have a look.
He's a beast.
That was a fucking... He hit him well. Two shots and he just went down.
He was out with the first one.
Yeah, he was. Now, I mean, like, who knows what the fuck sparked that, but...
Who cares?
Well, I mean, Conrad got fucking fed there.
That's what we do know.
Lee Mossop.
Oh, Lee Mossop.
Yeah.
Mossop.
Yeah.
Is he any relation to Rex Mossop? Probably not. Although maybe.
Yeah. Maybe, maybe not.
Is he an international Lee Mossop? The name just sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. So Conrad Harrell took offense to Mossop's action in a tackle, and that sparked a melee, which resulted in two red cards.
You'd think Mossop got one.
Yeah, Conrad Harrell had to go for an HIA.
Fuck off, an HIA. You don't come back from getting KO'd flat.
Well, if he passes, Tom.
No relation to Rex.
Okay, there you go. That's the way it goes. Edward, Test Championship. Obviously, we've been following this closely for a long time with Australia and New Zealand, obviously our two nation states, battling it out with obviously everyone else in the world. Australia robbed over the summer... don't want to get into it, but basically we were robbed. I can't even remember if there's any justification for me saying that.
We got like points taken off us for a slow over race.
Correct, that's right.
And then, yeah.
Is that why we missed out?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I heard something, I was reading something the other day, I hope I get this right, I may not, but basically it was saying that the Test Championship was such a mess in the way that its points were designed and stuff, that you would get more points for a drawn two-match series than you would for an away Ashes win.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. There was the problem with, like, if you're going to do shit like this, you have to make the scoring system crystal fucking clear because it's the only way that you can truly engage. Like
an audience.
If I know that I get 2 points for a rugby league win and that any other team that wins any other game is going to get 2 points, oh, I'm 4 points behind Eddie, well, I need two wins, he needs two losses, then we're like... You need to make it fucking crystal clear so people can follow it. The Test Championship, I at no point ever knew exactly what was going on and what our chances ever were or what we had to do to fucking get anywhere. Like, the fact that you can get docked points in a test championship for a slow over rate, Ivan, thinks fucking ridiculous. Surely that seems like a weird thing to, you know, like.
Well, I get where they're coming from, because the over rates are fucking painfully slow, and it's their way of saying speed the fucking thing
up. I get that, but surely you can find players. They try. Fucking, yeah, they don't really care, do they, when you've got millions
of dollars? They don't give a fuck. It didn't work.
Anyway, but yeah, they just need to do fucking something to make that easier to consume. But we are both half Kiwi, whether you like it or not, at home. And Kiora, baby.
Yeah.
Fucking test champs.
Test champs, baby. What did you think of the mace?
I didn't even see it. Or is that not the thing that's not world number one? Isn't that always the mace? Is that like that long stick with the ball in the end?
Nah, maybe that's the same one they gave out for.
Because that's like if you're the number one test team in the nation, you have the long stick with a ball in the end, like a cricket ball.
Is it the same? No. This one's a lot bigger.
It's pretty fucking big, dude. They're like,
is it the same? Have you seen the photo of this?
No, get the photo up and
yeah,
I'll
get the photo.
I'll let you know, because I've seen teams with this, with the thing that's in my head when you're the world, when you're the number one team in the world.
Right. Okay.
Which it's pretty thug.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's fucking cool. If it's the one that I'm thinking, it's fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, like, can you see?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's it. That's
So it's been doing the rounds.
Yeah, that's
it's
been doing the rounds. No. That's okay. Just like, if you're the number one test team in the world, you get that.
Yeah, right.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fucking mad. And New Zealand, dude. Fucking their whole country could fit inside Sydney. Like,
they can't stop those motherfuckers.
Mate.
And that's their first ever international cricket trophy. They've never won a World Cup in 2020.
That's crazy. And you know what? I'm happy for them, for well us. Like, they fucking got absolutely robbed of the one day.
They needed a World sixth Cup. Day.
Yeah, so was that just because it pissed rain?
Emergency
yeah.
Day.
Yeah. So is that,
they needed a result.
Because you had to have a result, so there's an emergency day.
They almost didn't get one.
They should have made it a timeless test. I heard that was getting thrown around.
See,
that
that's
been a
pretty
bit of
dope.
Fun.
I would
go
actually
back to the old timeless.
That would be pretty cool to make the final of the test championship a timeless test. What I would say though is let's never ever hold it the final in England ever again.
No. Well,
never
I think
again.
They wanted to go back to the spiritual home of cricket.
Fuck that, dude. No one's
why don't you play it at the fucking MCG, get 100,000 in there?
People want a fucking test match. Well, not do MCG and have a road, but like it just seems like
I know what you mean.
But it just seems crazy.
Probably the SCG.
SCG, let's do the SCG. Timeless test, SCG, no matter who's playing. It just seems like a fucking dumb place to play cricket that matters. Obviously, the Ashes,
well,
you have to do it every...
Well, if you went there for a five fucking test series, sure, I get it. But it's a one-off test.
It just rains in England all the time. It just rains all the time. And they don't seem to care enough to build anything with a fucking roof on it, so...
Their grounds aren't nearly big enough.
No, I know, exactly. But
they're tiny.
Yeah, they're like
the biggest crowns, like fucking 20,000. Yeah. Like, bro, like it's
what
like,
is that about?
I don't know.
Get it together, ECB, you fucking losers.
Like, mate, Lords is probably the size of Belrive. We don't even fucking play test.
No.
Do you know
get
what
it
mean?
Together.
Get it on.
Like, what? Show some respect to the game. Yeah, or is it just like, does no one care about cricket in England? I know football's
they
number
do.
One, but
county
like
cricket's pretty big.
But is it just more the bourgeoisie rich motherfuckers?
I think
the crowd didn't even look that big at the Test Championship.
Like, I think it's more bougie. Yeah, although the fucking Barmy Army seem pretty rogue to me.
Well, they are rogue, but that's because bougie pricks can be rogue.
That's true. They can be.
Very.
Very rogue. What are we saying? What we're saying essentially is that all cricket that matters should be played in
the SCG. Well, it can rain in Sydney as well, but it's certainly let's build some stadiums with roofs. Let's build some cricket grounds
with
roofs.
Takes away from it a bit. I don't like the roof.
You only need the roof if it's raining.
Yeah, but it needs to come all the way back.
Yeah. But you, of course. Let's do that. We can put people rovers on Mars.
And Eddie had at Marvel Stadium, whatever it's called now. They play 2020 games there.
Yeah.
And it comes all
but also back. Just make it timeless. You have to
worry. Only need the roof if it's raining.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Problem fixed.
Problem solved. Is there anything else that we need to cover off on as a podcast, as friends, as family, as lovers, people. As people, before we move on to everyone's favorite segment, the Dribbler Dribbles?
Justice Honey not being in the Olympics. That's sad.
That is sad. I feel bad for Justice. Gal said he was going to get him out of the Olympics, and he sort of did in a sense, but it was more just he allowed himself to get punched so much that Justice fucked all the ligaments in his hands.
It's unfortunate.
But
in the boxing world, The Olympics is like...
No, but in like an athlete world, the Olympics is like a notch on the belt. But I mean, is the Olympics even going to go ahead? Who the fuck knows?
Apparently, can you look this up, Dior? The Olympics is in a month's time.
Yeah.
And everyone in Japan's like, hey, no.
1 month.
When does the Olympics start? Friday, 23 of July. That's less than a month.
There you go.
There has been fuck all hype.
Well, dude, because it's a COVID year and everyone's like, is it even going to happen?
But where's the hype been? Where's the hype?
Well, there's no hype because no one even knows if it's going to go ahead. And everyone's kind of like, it's not really that important
what time
to
is
people.
It? What time is it in Tokyo?
I think you're like 9 hours ahead. Like, oh, two hours.
Oh, that's nice.
No, wait. I'll,
that's nice.
Hang on. Don't trust me.
Don't trust me either. I have been to Japan, but I don't fucking... I've also been to Japan. That was a long time ago.
It's 8:52 a.m. Oh, they're an hour behind.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, wow.
Or are they going to fucking run all the events on Yank time again?
Surely not. You don't do that.
Remember that? In Rio, they had the fucking swimming finals at like 1 a.m.
no,
for the Yanks.
Didn't know that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Pissed me off. What does this all mean for us, the punter and the dribbler?
Who knows? Who knows? Dude, we've covered a few Olympics in our time, haven't we? Or have we just done Rio?
You and I.
Yeah.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
Just one.
Just one. So that's 4 years ago, Rio. Was that the last one?
5 years.
5 years, right. Yeah.
Yeah, just one, dude. We probably barely got Rio in. I think
no, we definitely got Rio. Early. No, we definitely got Rio. Yeah, it was early.
About? I don't remember what we were talking about.
Do you remember when we were talking about in Rio how all of the American NBA players all stayed on yachts and shit off the coast? Yeah. And the Australian NBA...
had to make their own fucking shower curtains.
Bogut had like a fucking trundle and then another trundle at the end of his trundle so he could be long enough in it.
Yeah, two trundles. There's literally videos of them doing their own shower curtains
and shit. Well, like, you know, Kobe and shit. I don't know if Kobe was playing, RIP, but like they were literally in like fucking mega yachts off
Kobe
the coast.
Wasn't, but like,
fucking, you don't reckon Kobe was playing fucking 4 years ago?
No. Him and LeBron and shit play early, and they don't play again. LeBron hasn't played for a couple of Olympics.
Really?
I think he played in London, maybe, but definitely not in Rio.
Bron didn't play in Rio.
No, they like the summer off. They're like,
that's
fuck
true.
It,
like, get one.
Give a fuck.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, no LeBron. No, who was the other one you said?
Kobe. Kobe wouldn't have played. Kobe, no way. No. Was Kevin Durant even there?
Yeah, Kevin Durant was there.
Who was in the team?
Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan, Kyle Lowry, Harrison Barnes, DeMar DeRozan, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George.
Like, no Steph Curry. Even,
Draymond,
you know,
Green,
I mean,
and Carmelo.
Steph?
No
Steph.
They win one, they fuck
so
off.
So Steph would have won one already?
Yeah. He would have won in London.
So he would have been playing in London?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
Go to the London US basketball team. That just seems like a long time ago for Steph.
I think he would have been playing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I feel like he wouldn't have been.
He would have been at Rio then, for sure.
No, I don't think so. Tyson Chandler.
Has he won a gold medal?
LeBron. Well, Steph wasn't in this 2012 team, so yeah. I think so.
Interesting.
Just doesn't give a fuck.
So he's Narbrad it.
Yeah, Kobe and LeBron were in this team.
Steph up?
Yeah, well, no, just go to the fucking Japan Olympics, or have they not picked that yet? Would they not have picked that team?
Maybe. I'll see.
Just go to Steph Curry's Wikipedia and see...
Well, we can tell he hasn't fucking won one. He wasn't at Rio.
Do you want me to search Olympics? He withdrew from consideration for Brazil because he was injured.
Okay, there you go. So maybe he will go to Tokyo to get gold.
Yeah.
Look, go Steph Curry Tokyo Olympics.
Well, but I would be interested just in who's in the Tokyo Olympics anyway. How about Ben Simmons, bro?
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. Now he's
Holy fuck.
He is... He, like...
Mate, he's been getting lit up.
Bro, he's been getting torched. Like, absolutely fucking torched. And then when you look at, like, his shooting, you're like, well, I get it. He was terrified to shoot the ball.
His free throw percentage was the worst... Of people that have taken more than 73 free throws in a finals, his shooting percentage was the worst.
He's got the yips bad.
He's got the yips big time. Like, he had open dunks and passed the ball because he didn't want to get fouled.
Because then he'd have to shoot.
Like, he was yipped to within an inch of his life.
And now, like, everyone's like, he's done at Philly.
Boy, he's done at Philly. Apparently, he doesn't train very hard. Like, doesn't work hard at all.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and he gets coddled by his family and shit. That's what I heard. But, you know, when he should be in the gym shooting free throws.
That's all you should be doing. But also, now there's yarns of him saying, like...
He's got worse statistically since he...
started since
his first year.
Yeah, but they're saying that he's like going to fucking pull out of the Olympics.
No, he's done. He's out.
So he can work on his shooting. Like, bro, go and fucking defend the honor of your nation and work on your shooting there. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Fuck you, dude. Go and play the Olympics.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, like, fucking oath, got Ben Simmons in the Boomers. Like, he said he was an Australian and shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, fucking oath. Now he's...
He never fucking plays for the Boomers.
Like, he's like, okay, I don't want to play for the Boomers. I want to work on my shooting. I'm like, maybe that's a good environment to get better at shooting.
Yeah, go and get in an environment of players who, some of whom are, you know, like NBL players. I'm sure there's not many playing for the Boomers. But, you know, like those ones who it's like where they're not going to be able to fucking... They're not set for the rest of their life financially, and maybe it's good to go and surround yourself with a few grinders and hustlers and train hard, you fucking...
Yeah, but also get around a bit of camaraderie, around the boys, relax a little bit. Like, you going back into the gym is going to be...
That's also true. Take a load off.
Hang around some fucking Aussies. Get back to what you know. You've been in Yankville for too long. Go and unwind with the boys.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Play a bit of basketball. No one expects you to do that well. Like, we know you're not going to win.
But you might medal.
Yeah, but it's sweet. And if you don't, then who gives it?
Won't be happy with that. We're ranked third in the world, I think, as a basketball
but you know,
country.
But you know what I'm... But, like, we're not fucking crying. It's not the... Certainly not the pressure that Kath was under, for example.
Do you know what I mean? No, you're not under Kath pressure.
You're not under Kath pressure. So go and take a load off. Have a couple of fucking Victoria bitters or have a couple of blokes, even, with the boys. And enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And go and shoot some free throws in your spare time and work on in-game shooting at the Olympics. Do you know what I mean? That's what I would say.
I wonder, is there any yarn about where he'll end up?
I heard, I don't know how much truth in this, but someone was saying that he needs to go and be under the tutelage of someone that fucking has worked his ass off. Like he needs leadership from an established older man, like a LeBron James.
Oh, and they're both managed by the same person. Like
and
same
he
company.
Calls him little brother and shit. Like, LeBron would fucking show him the way.
So get if him he's to lazy, LA.
LeBron would be like, brah, 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 brah,
brah. Brah, 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 brah. Nah, you need to do... Whoa,
you want to be great? You got to do this.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. Listen, it's all well and good to fucking dress real fly on the way to the game, but brah.
Bruh.
Spend a mil on your body and start training your cock off.
2 mil, bruh.
2 mil on the body, train the cock off.
Look like this in year 17 or whatever the fuck it is.
Well, so, do some juice up a little bit as well. I'm pretty sure the NBA drug testing is very lax. So,
yeah, but I mean,
get on the phone to Bronson Cherry.
I don't have size as the issue. It's just.
No. Dude, it's not about just size. Like, it's not just about getting big. It's like your athletic ability improves if you dove.
Yeah.
So you can jump higher, run faster, recover quicker. And there are many people out there who go, oh, LeBron's still doing it at 37, is he? I wonder how he's doing that. Now, that's not to say he wouldn't be the best anyway. I'm not saying that, but it's just more like about longevity in the game. Sure. Some say that with the NBA it's easier to, you know.
Sure.
Get that molten lava, piss, piss. Do we move on to dribbles?
Yes.
Did you have anything for us?
No. Oh, well, Steph Curry's not in the team.
Yeah, okay. Right, there you go.
He withdrew? Yeah.
Hmm?
He's withdrawn?
I don't know if he's withdrawn or not put his name up.
Yeah, he's certainly not getting picked, right? Like,
Let's relax. He almost got MVP this year.
Yeah, let's assume.
He came second in the voting. Yeah, I think he's turned it down.
He's definitely turned it down.
we can assume he's turned it down.
Before we leave Olympics, I just wanted to give a heartfelt sucked into Sun Yang.
Oh, yeah, Sun Yang out. Morgmouth. Banned again. I don't understand how that thing was still going. Like, he was banned, he was let back in, he was banned, let back in, now he's gone again.
Congrats, Morgmouth.
Yep. The OGs will get that.
That's dribble.
Dave's got a moustache. Hold on, Eddie, before you go.
I do.
So what's this new thing?
Talk us through
I like
that.
It. Talk us through the moustache, bro.
Well, I mean, you know, we're in 2 weeks of lockdown. I thought if any time's the time to try a bit of a new look in case it didn't go too well.
That's a good point.
Is this a new look?
Have
you ever had it before?
No, it's only been like, you know, a bit of stubble type vibe in the beard. I've only been clean shaven like once since I finished school.
You've got a fucking beard on you, dude. Like, how old are you when you started getting facial hair and pubes? You don't have to tell me pubes, but just mainly facial hair.
It must have been like in year 12 at school. It must have been 18-ish it started, but it did really start to flourish after school.
Dude, so you didn't get really, because your beard's fucking better than, well, certainly mine. Eddie will probably give you a run for your money. Eddie's had a beard for a long time.
I mean, it probably started creeping in at school, but it never really got fully defined and like stopped being patchy till after school, which is good because a man of my short stature needs something just to kind of, you know, notify people that, oh, this dude's not 15.
No, this 24. Dude's a man, man.
Yeah, he's a man. This
dude's a man.
And now I think the beard has developed enough that I'm confident enough to go with just the mo.
Would you ever think about about putting a little tickler on there?
I was thinking about that because the shadow of the mic was given a bit of a tickler or just a little chin, a little goatee down the bottom. Would you put it around the tickler?
Any opinion there?
No, I haven't given it too much thought. It's a bit...
look like Kirk Pengilly.
Yeah,
of that's NXS, what it is. Yeah, it's for a those bit, of you that are over the age of 32.
It's a little bit exotic, maybe a bit...
Well, maybe exotics. Maybe exotics. What we need in these trying times.
Yeah, you're an exotic guy, though. You are a South African Jewish man living in Vaucluse who goes to Queensland.
Spice rum and shit, you know what I mean? From fucking Barbados, whatever that rum was you got us.
Good rum, by the way.
Great rum. But that's exotic.
Mm. Yeah, it is exotic. I think the mo and the mullet work well together.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's when you get exotic, the mullet kind of loses its thing.
Or the mullet kind of looks seedy if you have a tickler.
Yeah.
Just the moustache and the mullet, you look cool. If you throw in a tickler there or a soul patch.
Yeah.
Speaking of soul patches, I swear we might have spoken about this before, but I'm speaking about it again. Robbo from AFL 360 has the most obnoxious soul patch I've ever seen. Not just in sport, not just ever. It looks like a fucking palm leaf, like on the bottom of his lip, like pointing out. Like it is so fucking long. It is humongous, dude. And then when he bites his bottom lip when he's talking, he's like, and then it like sprawls out like in front of his face, like. I'm like, there's no one in, I've never seen anyone in the AFL world even talk about it. I'm like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. This is the biggest soul patch we've got.
In the history of the country.
In the history of the country, maybe the world, the biggest soul patch, and no one's addressed it. It's humongous.
Dave, look, I think there's probably something in that, Tom. Do we submit his soul patch to Guinness World Records?
We have to send him to Guinness.
Just go, listen, we've got a soul patch that needs measuring.
It needs measuring and it needs acknowledgement. It needs to be put up in lights.
And look, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty fucking certain that once verified, this thing gets the gong.
This thing, absolutely. Can you just, Dave, Google how to register for a Guinness World Record? Because I want to see if we can sign up right now to get, I think Mark Robinson's his name. Mark Robbo Robinson's soul patch. Is
get it certified.
We've got to get that thing certified.
Here we go.
I think they send someone
around. Send someone out.
We could send them around to the fucking studio.
That would be so funny. Or just go, yeah, he's going to be here at this time. It's like, I'm here to measure your soul patch, Mark, to the Guinness World Records. It's fucking huge,
dude. That would be fucking funny. Be like, what are you talking about? Like,
and then the Guinness World Record guy going, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Look at your soul patch, bro. This thing's clearly a record breaker. Yeah.
Like, we need to get this thing verified.
We need to get this thing verified into the quick next sticks.
Edition.
Yeah,
so we can get it into the 2022
edition. That's it for the Christmas stock.
Yeah, the 2022 comes out in probably November.
Yeah,
December.
They'd be fucking looking to print pretty soon. We need to get this thing in there. You might need a couple of pages though because it's so big.
Oh, like a fold out.
Yeah, exactly.
Any answers?
Yeah. So, you got to sign up for an account and do the application forms and whatever, and then they'll check.
We're doing that. Like, I mean,
we have to do it.
It's our duty. So, look, I reckon I just want to get up his soul patch right now.
I think the difficulty we'll run into is the specific definitions around when does a soul patch become an actual beard?
Oh, no, dude, because you can tell it's like, it doesn't connect to the bottom of his chin.
Okay.
It's like shaved. It's like he's gone and he lifts that up. And then shaves under it, so this thing can just like hang down. It's like a waterfall off of his lip.
It's worth thinking about though.
I think we might be breaking new ground because I mean, there's longest beard and there's longest moustache, but those obviously have specific parameters around where the hair comes from.
Mm.
I don't think there's any longest soul patch yet.
Okay,
this thing is fucking absurd. I don't know what to do about it either. It's hard to tell from these photos, but I tell you what we'll do today. Have you got work to do today, Dave, or have you got some time?
No, I haven't got much to do.
we need to get a collection of fucking Mark Robinson soul patches together, basically for submission to Guinness, because they're going to want to see like some proof, right? They're going to be like,
see a few angles and stuff.
Yeah, they're going to want to know that, you know, if they're going to send someone out to inspect a fucking soul patch, that they know they're going to get their money's worth. Holy fucking hell. Here you go, Edward.
Jesus. That's a mother. Oh,
God. That's a soul patch you set your watch to, and I mean, we just have to, here we go. Look at, like, it splays across the whole bottom of his lip and then goes down.
Good Lord. That's a very serious photo of Mark Robinson.
Well, you take yourself seriously if you put that much work into a soul patch. You know what I mean? Like, that's a cultivated soul patch, the likes of which you've never fucking seen before in your life. Like, that would be year-round garden attendance. You know what I mean? Like, you need a fucking...
It's such a weird life choice.
It is, dude. Like, a commitment to a soul patch is such a bizarre...
It's so bizarre.
Because that's not something he does for, like, a fucking week, or, like, Dave in lockdown with a mo, which looks good, by the way, Dave.
Thanks.
But, like, the soul patch
this is
life,
his every day. This yeah. is his... Yeah. It's funny how many media personalities think they need a look.
Like, I mean, I get, you know, like, okay, sure, wear a bandana, Peter Fitzsimons, but the soul patch, I mean, like, I would, you know, some people might think the bandana is weird. The soul patch is far more distasteful and transparent than the bandana. Like, we get it, Robbo. You want to be the soul patch guy.
Yeah, yeah, we get
it. At least
it.
You can take the bandana off.
You can take the bandana off. That soul patch is with you. Unless you want to shave it off, but I mean, you don't put that much work into a soul patch and then just shave it off.
Then I think once the soul patch gets that big, a part of your soul resides in the
patch. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
So today we will be registering Mark Robinson for a Guinness World Records.
So much 1-4 over the top of New South Wales.
I know, dude, I know.
I love it. Fuck, Toa's tackle and cable was sick. Or felt rather.
Yeah, dude, we also, what about fucking Tommy's?
4 tackle set?
No, the fucking, the try-saver on Coates just banging his arm out.
Is this recording?
No. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mate, yeah. Well, so the tackle on Coates was fucking ridiculous, but there was a set there where he made 4 tackles in a row.
Yeah. Just like...
Just out of fucking first marker, bang, 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 bang. Bang. Bang.
Thanks for coming,
bro. That's how it's done.
And then, yeah, Toto on Felt. Felt just looked like he was getting too caught up in the... what are you listening to?
It's his stories.
Who, Toto's?
Yeah.
Yeah, his fucking tackle on Felt. Felt just trying to get caught up. He just seemed like he was getting caught up in the niggle. And it was just like, nah, dude. Sorry, Kyle.
Sorry, Kyle, but you ain't up to it, bro.
You were selected by... former Queensland coach Paul Green. Surely you don't play again.
Look, if I'm Paul Green...
Former Queensland coach?
If I'm former Queensland coach Paul Green, and in saying that, I'm implying that I don't know what I'm talking about, yeah. I do pick him again.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd be throwing in a few more Cowboys players.
You know what I'd be doing?
I think Justin O'Neill deserves a recall, maybe.
Do you know what I'm doing?
Get Juzzy O'Neill back.
Yeah.
If I'm Paul Green, I'm not changing a goddamn thing.
Mm.
And I'm telling the boys,
I'm not fucking leaving. That's what
I'm telling the boys, go out there and redeem yourselves.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
That is exactly what former Origin coach Paul Green would do.
Like, even if Ponga's available, I'm picking Holmes at fullback for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, because you've picked him for the first 2 games, so you just – you know what works,
yep.
What doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely know what doesn't work.
Well, exactly.
But you got to give yourself another
shot. Well, no, Paul Green does know what works. Thurston works.
You mean former Queensland coach Paul Green?
He knows that Thurston works. Thurston not available.
Did Queensland give former Queensland coach Paul Green a second year? I don't know. I just don't know.
We'll see how his –
Game 3 goes?
Yeah. If it's anything less than a 30-point loss.
Yeah. Would you give him another year, Dave?
I would, wouldn't you?
I know.
You just, all you need, like, it's not hard. Get a room, a few pens and paper, Cam Smith, Thurston, Kronk, Slater, and then let, like, the team just watch over their shoulders.
Can I tell you something?
It can't be worse than Paul.
Can I tell you something? And yeah. This is coming from a bloke who watched the 8 in a row as a New South Welshman. When you don't have the cattle, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have the cattle.
There are cattle there.
Nah.
You don't have the cattle.
They're shit cattle, though.
You don't have the cattle.
Yeah. Like, the cattle is the cattle that we have.
I understand.
You've got cattle.
Like, Cherry Evans is a weak point, but I don't think he brings
well, I don't think... Well, Munster did fucking dick last night as well. More than Cherry Evans. What did he do?
He put in two of the kicks that almost got... He gave that pass to Coates where he almost scored, but Cherry...
Munster put in two kicks.
That almost led to tries.
Munster is elite.
Munster is elite. I'm not saying he's... I love Munster, but what do you fucking
do? At full strength, you've got a good spine. That's it. Like, your pack's not as good as ours, and your outside backs aren't fucking... Even in our fucking... On our worst day, you wouldn't get close.
No, you wouldn't get close.
So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, have Queensland got the cattle? And the answer is no, they don't have the cattle.
That's just a quick answer. What we did want to say, though, is Tommy Turbo's tackle on Coates just slapping his arm out was the height of alpha energy, where it's just like...
Well, as Joey said, he's just so intelligent.
Because Tommy even said, he goes, look, I knew he was going to go for the one-arm put-down because that was all he had, so what do? I just... That was his cock he slapped his arm with as well. No one knew that because it was so quick, like a snake's bite. And it knocked the ball straight out of Coates' arm. But obviously I'm talking to myself because Eddie's text messaging, so...
Yeah, we've already talked about it.
Eddie's disrespecting you, the audience, and to my face, disrespecting me. Which is fantastic. So thank you so much.
What were we saying?
Let's dribble. Let's bring this bitch home.
Yeah.
Tom, Eddie, Dave, punters, and the dribblers. It's Hammer Fist calling in here. Look, I'd just like to have a quick shout out to my boy, little Betty Boo Bonus back down south and the rest of the core crew. Fucking bunch of legends. So yeah, g'day from me. Just want to say, fuck, Tommy Turbo is making it hard to hate Manly. Eh? Like, seriously, what can't that cunt do? He's a fucking freak. So good win on the weekend.
He can't lose.
Suck my balls. I'm gonna say up the mighty Blues, and yeah, Dragons forever, Manly never. Catch you, boys.
Sweet. Yeah, he can't lose. Could you just play the start out? I just wanted to hear the crew that he shouted out because it sounded like a funny name.
Yep.
I'm going to sink down with you here and we'll let you get comfortable.
Tom, Eddie, Dave, punters, and the dribblers. It's Hammer Fist calling in here. Look, I'd just like to have a quick shout out to my boy, little Betty Boo Bonus back down south and the rest of the core crew.
Betty Boo Beaumont and the core crew?
Something like that.
Sounds like a hot crew, dude, down south.
Sound like a hot crew.
Shout out to Betty Boo Beaumont.
Do you reckon they do a lot of fucking, that crew?
They might, dude. It sounded sexy. Betty Boo Beaumont and the core crew?
Something like that.
Down south? Shout out to you. Let's move on.
Hey, boys. Just listening to the current dribbles going about the transgender topic in the Olympics. I'm not going to beat around the bush, and I'm just going to say what most people are probably thinking. All due respect to transgender people out there, but it's fucking bullshit. You developed as a man, your bone density and like the whole way your body is constructed is different to a woman growing up, and then obviously you've made the change now, but that doesn't change any of the other factors. So I think it's a big old load of dog shit, but yeah, what do I know? All right, cheers, boys. See ya.
I know what he's saying.
Look, I think that, I mean, was it as eloquently put as you and I? No, but he's, you know, he's just a punter and a dribbler trying to make sense of the world. And I don't know whether I'm caught in a fucking echo chamber of my own thoughts like you can be online, but I feel like most people find this to be a crazy situation. Because I heard someone put it well, where it's like there's biological truths, right? Male, female. But gender, obviously,
gender is fluid.
Fluid. So
you identify as. Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine.
But sport should be biologically based, not gender based. So it's like if you are a man, or biologically, then you take on men. Even if you're doing your testosterone and this and that, like, it's not gender specific. Like,
could the person in question, whose name escapes
Laurel Hubbard,
could Laurel not compete with the men as a woman?
That's what I'm saying, right? Like,
you know what I mean?
But like, doesn't that kind of put him or her at a disadvantage?
Why?
In a way.
Why?
I don't know. Biology, as you said.
But if he
she used to win and do very well as a man. I'm saying, why can't she just go, look, I know, I understand for these reasons that I can't compete in the female class, but is it sweet if I compete with the men? I think people would have been like, that's not a problem.
I think
you know what I mean? Then you can still live out your Olympic dream.
Yeah.
Well, she wouldn't make the Olympics. That's the reality.
Well, she might.
She's 44 years old.
Oh, is she that age?
Yeah, bro.
Okay, right.
She's 43 or 44 years
old. Did she make it as a man to the Olympics? Probably not.
I think she
Commonwealth Games, maybe?
I think she might have represented New Zealand as a man.
Yeah, right.
Not in the Olympics, but it does look like Commonwealth Games.
Well, fuck, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But, like, you know, if you transition to become a woman, whether she was taking whether she was trying to get her testosterone down so that she could compete purely, or whether it was something she wanted to do as part of the transition, I'm not sure. Mm. But, like, if you want to, again, it's just like, listen, if you're biologically male, you cannot compete against biological females. The amount, like, I saw a photo of the chick who missed out on the Olympics because of Laurel Hubbard. And you're like, that is fucked. That's not fair.
What's her opinion?
Well, I don't think she'd be fucking stoked, would she, that a 43-year-old transgender female has knocked her out of the fucking Olympic dream. Like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. Mm. It's not.
But it's Laurel's dream to replicate. And it's like, okay, yeah, but what about the chick she fucking
knocked out?
I'm sure her dream was fucking to win. You know what I mean?
Like, sorry, like, that your why? Dream, your dream you, might
what
have
you,
to
now fucking, you're starting to say that transgender dreams are worth more than. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're getting into murky territory now.
Well, I think the problem in this whole thing is that there's a problem. There's clearly a problem, and everyone can admit that. But there's no real one person or, like, one group of people to blame it on. Because this athlete, like Laurel, you can't say, like, oh, you know, you should take yourself out. Because she's an athlete, she's a sportsman, she's going to try to compete.
Yeah, I get that.
And if they're allowing her in, she's not going to say, I'm not doing that.
Completely. So, but the problem is that there is, if you look at someone like the Hannah Mounsey situation, where they're going, hey, no, sorry, you can't compete against biological women, that she screams, like, discrimination. And so the problem is, I'm not saying, again, it's not necessarily the fault of the trans person, but the fact that discrimination is being thrown out when it's like, it's not like you're discriminating against trans people, you're discriminating against biology and going, no, look, like, discrimination you just have to do here to make, like, that's how people are categorized for things like sport, where it's going, well, no, because you are biologically a male, using the discrimination tactics, we go, well, no, biologically a male means you can't compete against biological females, even if your fucking testosterone gets down. Like, the thing is that people are scared to say.
Surely science has an opinion on this from a developmental perspective. Like, they argue testosterone levels exclusively. I'm like, surely science can tell us a little bit more and give us, like, an age at which we can draw the line in the sand. Because obviously if someone transitions as a child, I don't think that's a problem.
No.
If you've represented your nation as a man, and in doing so, fucking all that training as a man under your belt, it's a bit harder to swallow the fucking transition.
But also, man, I think that, like, again, I don't know 100%, but the time it takes to get your testosterone levels below a certain point, which I'm pretty sure is the only thing, right? So obviously you have to, like, you come out as transgender, and then you have to get your testosterone below, like, can you just Google it, Dave? Just what's the testosterone level requirement to a male needs to get, or a trans person needs to get, to get into the Olympics? But, like, that period of time that it takes to go from a fully fledged male to then a transitioned female with testosterone below a certain point is really not that long. Like, you could be a male and then testosterone-ally speaking female within, like, a year, maybe 2 years. But, like, it's really not, like, some super, super long fucking process from my understanding, which is super limited. In fact, non-existent.
Yeah, it's well, it says athletes with testosterone levels equaling or exceeding 5 nmol/L.
Nanomils or some shit?
Per liter. Yeah, makes sense. Nanomils per liter. Or who are androgen sensitive. Must get the so basically you have to get your testosterone levels below 5 nano whatever's
and then liter. And then like the average female testosterone levels is like 1.2 or something. That's the thing that I read somewhere where it's like the average female's testosterone levels is like 1 point something to 2 point something, and then transitioning athletes have to get it below 5. Is that true?
Well, they do have to get it below 5 and just average. That doesn't help. 15 to 70 nanograms per deciliter. So no. That's right. Because then that's 1.5 to 7. That doesn't make sense. Deciliters.
Can you Google like just the average woman's testosterone?
Per liter.
Per liter. Like compared
per
to.
Liter. Yeah. Just say per liter.
Yeah.
Yeah. 0.3 and 2.4 for women is normal. But then again, also...
Making sense? So you can have double.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But I also would think maybe some high-level female athletes, especially in weightlifting, may have slightly higher testosterone.
Right, sure. Average. Yeah, no, that's completely... Bit, so. That's completely.
What did they end up
you're
doing?
But if you're going to be a trained, once upon a time, like a trained male athlete, then getting your testosterone levels just down to like 5.
What did they end up doing with that South African 800-meter runner who had the internal testes?
Yeah, yeah.
She's not banned, is she?
I think she was.
So she's banned, but Laurel
she,
isn't.
She has won 2 Olympic golds, though. No, not golds. No. She won 2 Olympic medals.
Caster Semenya. So the thing with her is that she was...
Actually, she had 2 golds.
Yeah, so the thing with
Caster... Oh, so she was allowed to run.
Yeah, no, yeah. She has run. But Caster Semenya was a female. I think she was biologically female, but she was like a hermaphrodite or something. So she had internal testes and... I believe that obviously helped, like that contributed to her skill set to some degree. But yeah, you'd think that if Laurel Hubbard's fucking,
well, I just thought she was
lifting weights for New Zealand,
but that's almost like a different story because she's not trans. She's not transitioning.
No, exactly.
Which is weird.
But what I'm trying to say is, I thought for
she's like a different X-Men.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I thought she was.
Like, I don't know if that's inappropriate to say. I don't mean like, but I just mean she has like a bit more to her.
Yeah.
But I thought she was banned, she's and I was like for a second, well, if she's banned and Laurel isn't, now we've completely lost our minds.
I think the problem with this, as in many sporting organizations, is that the science is far ahead of what the rules are. Like, I'm sure the science does state and probably has more specific parameters around what makes, you know, biologically men or women or whatever and what can make a more equal testosterone level, but the Olympic Committee or whoever is probably just like, well...
It's better, easier. Yeah, we don't want to deal with the backlash. Yeah, or
kind of like making the origin rules a bit more vague or specific. Or they need to pinpoint something.
But the thing as well is like, and everyone's like, everyone is at pains to try and like stress before having any conversation like this that at no stage is anyone anti-trans or like, you know, trying like a transphobe. But you have to be able to have these conversations about things that you like respectful conversations, right? There are some people who are like, fucking shoes are blood. Like, you know, there's none of that chat. It's like trying to have a respectful conversation around something that you see as, even if you just think it's confusing and you want to be at, like, if there doesn't seem to be really clear explanations around this sort of an issue where you go, oh, okay, well, that seems cool then. It all seems like, for the most part, pretty hard to sort of wrap your head around. Mm. So it's like, You're not begrudging Laurel her wanting to chase her dreams, but it does seem like they're coming at the cost of biological females missing out on the Olympics and maybe missing out on medals because Laurel is fucking good at what she does.
And my thought process would be, if we can't have like conversations around this now, what does the future look like? Like, is this going to become more regular?
Who knows? Yeah, well, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Where, like more and more...
Well, just remove all fucking gender categories and see what happens then. Let's just have it to fucking open...
Yeah, and, like, you're allowed to take whatever drugs you want as well.
Do whatever
just
the fuck
see,
you
see
want.
Just see how far you can go.
Yeah.
But then also put one normal bloke in there just for, like...
Just for
reference.
Just scale. Yeah, exactly.
Put you in.
Yeah. I think that would get a lot more views than whatever the hell they're doing now.
But that's like, you know what I mean? If you're going to allow it, just go free for all. Yeah. Free for all.
All right, anyway, let's push on.
Let's push on. Again.
Bogged down.
Not transphobic.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know how many times we need to say that.
I know, but, you know, we'll get cancelled soon enough.
Fuck it.
Tom, Eddie, D or Dave. It's the Tommy T PP utility dribbler here. Jeez. Just assessing all of the logistics towards the utility of what we could use Tommy T's PP for. Now, look, I've been driving up to Sydney from this crown jewel of the Central West, Orange New South Wales, for various games of rugby league lately. And in doing so, you have to cross through the scummy, treacherous place known as the Blue Mountains. Now, so there's always been talk of putting a tunnel through there. They're going to say it's going to take about 10 years. I say God, we whip out the T1, pump Tommy's hog through that thing. Look, it's 69.3 kilometres of road. That'll be minimum 2, maximum 3 pumps, I reckon, to get him through. There's your tunnel sorted. Could even get the rest of the Manly boys in to help out, maybe get Brad Parker to cart all the machinery down, the ants on his shoulders, you know. Maybe put some gardens on the entrance, the exit, and get Manasi Fainu to mow the gardens, get the lawns going, you know, make them look nice and pretty. Just a bit of thought for you there. Anyway, New South Wales 13 plus. Go Tommy T's PP. Woo!
I don't hate that.
I don't hate that, Tom.
I don't hate that idea at all. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, is it like the new Snowy Hydro scheme, but it's just Tommy's dong and he just pumps a couple of tunnels through the Blue Mountains? Like, you do, I think you'd probably want two lanes. Like, I don't think you'd want cars going the same, you know what I mean? So you'd go one there, one back.
Well, obviously, you'd say you're talking about two tunnels.
Two tunnels.
A dual tunnel.
Dual tunnel and some exits.
Fuck the exits.
Well, like, you know, but I mean, like, just saying, like, why not? If you've got Tommy down there, you want to sort of make best use of your time with him. You could.
Well, I understand that. But I think that, and this is just me, if you're using the tunnel, it's to completely avoid the Blue Mountains.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can meander over the top.
That's true. Stopping at Bilpin.
I mean, look, Tommy's hog's extraordinary. Obviously, he can drill 69 kilometres a tunnel in 3 pumps, but I mean, he still is human, and yeah. I don't want to fucking
burn him out.
I don't want to burn him out, Tom.
No, no. But I like that. Brad's certainly strong enough to cart the machinery, but the machinery is kind of just exclusively Tommy's hog, so.
Well, I think by that he meant, you know,
once
obviously,
they're putting down roads.
Yeah,
and
road and stuff like that.
Like carrying away the big rocks and stuff that.
That's true.
You know, graders and concrete pumps and that sort of thing.
Levels, yeah. Spirit levels.
Yeah, yeah. He can carry a spirit level.
Well, I would have thought we'd use Tommy's hog as a spirit level as well.
Well, it is dead flat.
There is a bubble in there that you just sort of.
Yeah, in one of the veins.
In one of the veins.
good dribble. On we go.
On we go.
Tom, Eddie, Dior, long time, first time. Just wanted to share a funny, funny little coincidence that just happened. Driving through beautiful Brisbane, listening to the podcast from 21st June, gets to the Manscaped ad that I pull up at a street, Stafford Heights in Brisbane, Cutbush Street. Don't know if it's an omen, don't know what it is, but it's pretty fucking funny. Queensland 13 plus, no pubes soon.
I would say if it's an omen, it's an omen for you. As in, like, you've listened to the Manscaped ad, you've seen a signpost saying to cut your bush. You should do it.
You need to do it. You need to do it. You go to manscaped.com, promo code dribblers, 20% off free shipping. Mm. Again, they're not a sponsor this week, but I'm assuming that fucking promo code still works.
I don't think it would, like, turn on and off.
I don't think so. We're not getting paid for it, but it'll probably ingratiate ourselves further. They go, look, these guys are selling fucking these things when we're not even on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so they're that good.
They're that good. I'd go and shave your bush. I'd go and get one now and take that as an omen to trim your pubes. That's the universe telling you that your pubes are too long. You got to listen when the universe speaks.
And it speaks regularly.
It does speak regularly. If you listen.
In fact, it's always speaking.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Hey, boys. Just a swoop trill dribbler here. I just like to nominate Big Bob Hawke for the Pearly Gates fella.
Okay.
You know, he's known for neck and beers at the cricket, and he was also a great leader of our country. Be a snake soon. See you, boys.
Yeah, I'm not anti-Bob.
I'm not anti-Bob, and I'm sure Bob's not anti-us You know, fucking the, so you know the two times he was given beers to skull at the cricket. One of those was with me and the boys. We were all dressed in the Richies, and we were at the back. We were on like the back seat, and then there's like a gap, and his box was sitting right there. And I think it was Hickey, my mate Hickey. He was on that hand. He was on that hand in the fucking beer, and we're all there like, "Yeah, you're a fucking legend." So you see all that, and all of us shaking our thingos. That's us giving it to Bob.
Good for you, mate.
Yeah, I also got on the actually. I got on the cricket that day. You get so shit faced being in the Richies, like it's so hot. You're made to wear like you can't take off your jacket and your fucking wig and all that, and it's just hot.
Early start as well.
Early start. You're at the pub before the cricket, and you know, fucking just one of the balls got hit. I think it was in the Ashes. A ball got hit into the stands, and like because we were right behind the bowler's end. So those seats are often like covered because of like the sight screen and shit. And I've just sprinted across. This ball's just like right, and I've just fucking straight out of my seat.
Like sprinting on top of the covers?
No, not on the thing. Not on the thing. Okay, so it was I had seats to run through, but I've just fucking hooked it through the seats, picked it up, and I'm just like, you know, all the Richies, we all start cheering when I've got the ball and I'm fucking – and anyway, I didn't realize, but I was on TV because my mate sent me – it might have been Nude Soon – sent me a video of it. But it was just Ian Chappell. Because, like, the ball just rolled to a stop. And I picked up the ball and then threw it back. And Ian Chappell goes, "Might have been a bit more impressive if you'd caught it, mate." Or, like, you know, you're a bit excited for someone that didn't catch it. And I was like, ooh, thank you.
Good point, though. Fucking good point.
It's a great point because I was fucking stoked.
Yeah, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, well, I mean, you dressed up in a Richie Benaud costume, like, fucking at the – you're a bit of a yahoo.
Did you give it a bit of a pick?
Bit of a shine? Don't know. I fucking rocket-armed it back, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get over the fence?
On the full. Mate, I got an arm on it.
Did you get over the fence or?
Please. Coming from you, worst fucking hand-eye coordination in the world. Least talented athlete I've ever seen in my life. With the greatest respect, obviously. You're a close friend. I don't want to disrespect you.
Yeah, yeah. Come down to Oztag, mate.
I still reckon I'm fucking more valuable to that side than you are, and I don't even play.
I reckon you'd fucking do your knee and first hit up.
Probably. Probably, but
and that'd be the end of you.
The morale I'd bring would be fucking through the roof. They'd be like, "Holy shit, he's back. He's back," and everyone lifts.
And then you go down and then it's just a
well, then they time. Lift again. They go, "Fuck, we were already lifted. Now he's gone down with another knee injury, which we should have seen coming because his knees are fucking like, as you said before, twisty. He's brittle as fuck. Let's lift again. Let's win for him. Then they fucking, who knows?
So it's win-win, you're saying?
Well, they fucking start naming the comp after me or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, we're taking a long time with these dribbles.
We are. We're working through them, Ed. Right. We're working through them. Just value.
What value for the pun of the dribbler?
Tom. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Tom, Eddie, Dior, punters and dribblers. The spell check dribbler here have not been able to spell Hyman. Fame. Look, you mentioned a couple of podcasts ago that it's kind of national or worldwide turncoat month. And it kind of got me thinking, is there ever an acceptable time to be a turncoat?
What do you reckon?
Well, I'll give you an example. It's 2000, whatever fuck year it is, and you go for the St. George Dragons. You just get told that your club is going to merge with the Illawarra Steelers of losing fame. Surely that's okay to turn the coat and go for another team. I think it is. I think it's an exception to the rule. Just got me thinking about it, especially if it's the time we shine a light on turncoat-related behaviour. For anyone that actually did that and turned the coat, all credit to you, to the rest of you, is a bunch of DNC cunts.
It's interesting.
All the best. Beers soon. Peace.
I think that's if you find yourself at a juncture where your team is merging with another team, that's almost like a point where it's like, all right, you can choose to break away here if you want because your team is ceasing to exist.
Well, by the letter of the law, your club
no longer exists.
Exists.
So you're sort of at a new, you're at a an impasse,
a crossroads.
Thank you, Dave.
Mm.
So,
like, if you were born in like the late 1800s and you were a big fan of the Annandale Dales. That was your team.
That was your team.
And they were removed after two seasons. Or Cumberland, who I think played one season. Then at that point, you're at a junction.
Yeah.
You're at a crossroads then.
Yeah. What do I do? Where do I go?
I think you could argue in the court of law, in the Turncoat courts, you could probably get away with that one.
I think you could get away with it.
You'd need a good barrister. But
you
I think
need
you
a good barrister. Izzy Carey, Lloyd of the Stars, might help you out, but he's not really a supporter of the Turncoat. I think it's more just about going, you need to have a pretty good reason behind your new team. You've got a good reason for why you want to leave your current team because they no longer exist. But where you head, like if you just start going for the fucking Storm, who are, you know, or Penrith, it's like, well, you're just going for now like the best team in the comp. Like, I need to hear a bit about why you are now supporting someone else or who you are supporting.
Well, that would be put forward in your case in the Turncoat court.
Correct. And it's evaluated by a jury of your peers and, yep. And a high court judge.
The jury also not made up of Turncoats.
No. These are all, you can't be a Turncoat. No, the jury is full of...
The first question they ask, are you a Turncoat? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They actually might lock you up. I wouldn't admit that in court. If you say you're a Turncoat, that's enough to get you locked up.
And that makes sense. I've never got a jury duty. I've never got a letter for jury. And I've wondered why, but now
you know.
Makes sense.
Now you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a little known fact.
They don't allow my kind.
No.
No, they don't. You're
no
absolutely
Turncoats
right.
in court.
That's right.
Or in jury. Plenty in court. Let's move on.
Usually in the shackles.
I'm a young throbbing dribbler here. Gents, I pose a question to you. Tom Turbo Trbojevic, the man of Manly Warringah Seagull or fame, do you think if he switched codes, he would become the youngest and greatest thoroughbred to ever lace up a pair of boots? I want to hear your answers, hear your thoughts. Third time lucky this one is, so... Give me a bit of grace.
What do you mean?
Godspeed, gentlemen.
Well, I would say
he's saying going to rugby union?
He said
if he changed codes.
Yeah.
The fuck's
yeah.
he talking
I think
about?
I think he meant rugby union. I'd say this. Israel Folau wasn't playing as well as Tommy when he went to with the Wallabies, and he's considered by some to be the greatest Wallaby ever.
Yeah.
So you work it out.
You work that out. Tommy would shit all over rugby union. He'd be picked in every fucking rugby union side the world over. All Blacks. Fucking Saffers, England.
Barbarians.
What? Barbarians.
Lions.
Lions. Yeah. Wallabies, obviously.
He'd captain coach the Lions, mate.
We captain coach the Wallabies. Which, that test has been moved to Queensland. I was going to go to it. Thanks, COVID.
Mm.
Dribbler variant.
Fucking dribbler variant.
Boys.
Everyone just, Eddie, it just makes cunts talk shit and like give shit rugby league opinion.
You don't actually get sick. You just talk a heap of shit.
You just talk heaps of shit. Yeah. Oh, I've got the dribbler variant of COVID and I think GI was overrated. Yeah, that makes sense. You do have it.
Ray Hadley's got it.
Ray Hadley definitely has the dribbler variant of COVID.
Is that the test if you listen to Ray Hadley?
Well, like, I think if you listen to us, you probably have it as well.
Look, if you do find yourself listening to Ray Hadley, though... Well, you're listening to us already, so you've probably got it.
Yeah, you definitely have. If you're listening to this, you definitely have the dribbler variant. That's just the way it is.
Just take it and you move on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no fucking
there's
vaccines.
No QR.
There's no vaccine. No.
It also doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's for life.
You've got it.
It's for life.
Yeah, yeah. It's the one they can't get rid of.
Mm.
Boys.
It's like herpes.
Yeah. Tom Eddie.
It's the most contagious. Dribbler variant. You can get it on your dick and your mouth.
Dior.
Dribbler variant.
Fucking happy birthday, you fucking turncoat, and go the Blues. Listen, boys, just here watching some fucking highlights of some players that I think deserve a little bit more credit where credit's due. Matty Bowen, honestly, go back and watch his highlights. He was a highlight machine.
Ballon or Bowen?
Bowen.
Preston Campbell, just watching him streak down the sideline here at fucking Jubilee Park, absolutely pants them.
I think Matty Bowen got plenty
two players,
credit.
I think.
Fucking Preston won a Dally M.
Anyway, boys, go the Blues on Sunday. Fucking beers always. See you, boys.
Mango fucking got the intercept that Brett Camorley threw. Mango is one of the greats.
With one of the great fucking nicknames all time.
He's got probably the greatest nickname in rugby league. Mango. Matty Mango Bowen. Mango Matty Bowen. Preston won a fucking Dally M. Won a premiership.
if he's talking about the fact that they're not talked about enough now,
that's because they're not playing anymore.
Yeah, I mean that's just happens. That with seems the, to that be just reasonable. Happens with time, right? Yeah,
once do you think retire. That like because there are so many good players that just always come and like hot young things, people kind of get forgotten about. Like Matty Bowen and Preston Campbell would have been like their prime would have been right before like Slater's prime, whose prime was also right before like.
Mate,
I don't know who else is it now. It's like Tommy Turbo. And
They will breach a point in our lives where we'll be like fucking crapping on about Joey Johns and people will be like, who the fuck are you talking?
Well, that's like when you're old, you know when I mean? Your parents crap on about players. Like even,
but you know of them, but like you don't really know
Think
of
about
them.
Like Bob Fulton, RIP. Never saw him play, but everyone's like, fucking Bozo, my old man, Bozo, fuck, he was good. It's like he's an immortal. And you're like, yeah, dude, I'm sure. But yeah, I don't know who the fuck you're talking about in terms like I don't know the player that Bozo was.
No.
I see some highlights of him scoring some tries. I'm like, yeah, okay. But like I only have the context of 90s and above rugby league, like which like, you know, 90s to now rugby league takes a steamy piss on any of the rugby league you see in the highlights. So like immortal form in the Fulton era is just – completely different to what I expect in immortal form. So it's hard for me to even see highlights of him and get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I get you.
That's no disrespect to Bob.
Of course not. Saying, right? Of course
the game changes.
Yeah, the game changes, right? And so then you see, like, you look at the shit that Tommy Turbo and Luttrell, like Luttrell last night, fucking hell, I don't know if we wrapped Luttrell enough in that Origin yarn.
Did we not? I don't think so.
I don't think we did. Luttrell.
Back to Luttrell.
Luttrell.
Oh, we did. We gave him credit.
Luttrell is so fucking good. He is so good. Like,
you know what he is, Tom?
Generational throbber.
A rugby league handful.
He is a two handfuls.
Two hands. Depending
on the size of your hands.
He's, and that's what I'm going back to. I've been crappy on about it all podcasts about fucking Queensland centre selections. I'm like, how the fuck are you going to defend Luttrell?
You can't.
It's impossible.
But also his defense, like he was in a mood. He was hitting hard. He was aggressive as fuck.
Mate, he's been in a fucking mood all series. Yeah. Like a fucking mood.
He was crying after the game. He was in tears after that.
Didn't you love that?
Mate, fuck, I loved it. And where are the photos? I was trying to find photos of him in tears. I was like, surely we put that up on fucking billboards. Queensland, this is what Origin spirit looks like, you losers.
The media hates Luttrell though. They don't like him.
Well, if certain media,
which I don't,
I think,
look,
like, yeah. I mean, if you're a fuckwit, you don't like Luttrell otherwise.
Yeah, but also like, even if you are a fuckwit, are you just going out of your way to be a cunt for no reason? Because I don't get it.
It's road rage behavior.
It doesn't make any sense. You're talking about like a full on out and out generational talent.
Who's just like a family man, has a wife, has a couple of kids, like, you know.
Who is in tears after the game, who has been fucking destroying the Queens. Like, what doesn't excite you about that?
How hot was that intercept? Just seeing
One hand basically stuck to his hand. Like he had Velcro on it.
Scooped it out.
Bang.
And just 80 meters. Thanks for coming.
That was the moment where Queensland fans knew, oh, we're not getting close.
No, you're fucked here. You're absolutely fucked here. So shout out
to Luttrell. Shout out to Luttrell, who is fast becoming my, probably at the moment, second favourite player.
Yeah, he won't take over Tommy. But he, I think, so far is...
He would be my second favourite player.
If you were picking Wally Lewis medal right now, Brad Fittler medal right now, he's the one.
For a Wally, I'm giving it to Luttrell, yeah. He's getting the Wally.
He's getting the Wall right now.
For sure. Would you give Luttrell the Wally at the moment? Yep. See?
Yeah, that's Matt there.
That's Matt.
Rabbitoh.
Producer Sam. Matt. Producer Dior's boss.
Yeah, that was not my opinion. I'll put Kurt Capewell for
Wally. I bet you will. Yeah, well, fucking he's played well for the Blues.
Him or Carl Felt.
G'day, Tom, Eddie, Dior, P's and D's, Gilso, the Randwick dribbler here, maybe otherwise known as the eavesdropping dribbler of sitting next to Tom at Fred's fame.
Yeah, that's your
name. Had a couple of comments to bring vis-a-vis last podcast. I haven't actually even finished it. I heard something so outrageous that I had to call up partway through the podcast on the dribbles in regards to the Gator Bug dribbler and his completely unfounded criticism of our beautiful song that was recently released. Mate, you need to stop ripping cones of pure fucking tobacco. That's probably why your brain's not working properly. That's just a suggestion. Maybe you're not ripping cones of complete tobacco, but that's what it sounds like.
Tobacco cones.
To the average dribbler. Second of all, I've also just heard, which is not the controversial, but that was the controversial part.
Okay.
I also just heard this young man who dumped his girl based on omens, which is, you know, fair play, you know, play it as you see said omens. But also reminded me of the Kicking Tea Dribblers' search for romance and how that kind of died. And maybe if I could fill you in, something I did over here, eavesdropping dribbler shit, he had kind of actually already found a girl during that whole episode. So here's what I'm going to suggest. I am still single. I'm going to put myself out there as the fucking, as a person that the dribblers should all fucking get behind. I might call up if people are interested again next week with a dating profile. Let's maybe, let's kind of get the pod to not necessarily find me love, but to just stop me from being alone. That would be lovely. All right. Beers soon. Love you all. Cheers.
Okay. Let me just approach this in two sections. Firstly, he brought up the fact that Gator Bug had a crack at the Punters and Dribblers song, said that Gator Bug's clearly just smoking tobacco cones, which is a disgusting thought, but would clear, well, that would make sense because Gator Bug's a fucking idiot.
It'd clear things up.
Now, we must take this moment to shout out Marcus Finichario of Baggy Green member fame, the official sort of musician sort of the podcast.
So he's in Ella's cousin's band, the Lulu Rays.
Right, so Ella's cousin's in that band.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
Lulu Rays.
Yeah.
True, I've seen them. Like
yeah, Finichario's
before.
In yeah. the Lulu Rays.
Oh, yeah. Matt, they used to play at Beachy a bit when I worked there.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's sick.
Small world.
Fucking oath. Mm. Well, he is hilarious and a Baggy Green member. Some people are saying, how do you award someone with a Baggy Green to give another Baggy Green? Like, how do you give him two? And I go, listen, when fucking you give Ricky Ponting a Baggy Green and he starts scoring hundreds for the country, you don't give him another Baggy Green. He's got the Baggy Green in recognition of his ability to score hundreds of the nation.
That's exactly right. And he scores more hundreds to repay
the Baggy Green.
The Baggy Green. That's how it works.
That's how it works. He's got a Baggy Green and now
if you've got a Baggy Green, I would like you, we're not going to take it away from you, but I would also say, you know, it's in the spirit of the Baggy Green itself to get off your ass and
start trying to score more tons for the nation.
That's right.
Like Jacko of PVL Plaque 2.0 fame, that's what he got his Baggy Green for, but then he and Finichario created the Punters and Dribble song. Mm. That's digging in for your country.
That's digging in till tea.
That's digging in till tea. And then Finichario comes in and creates this fucking anti-Gator Bug, fuck Gator Bug video.
Which is brilliant.
Brilliant. It was beautifully produced as well. And it was finished off by the freak show himself, Roger Fabree, the king of speed, the king of cadence.
Yeah.
Dressed in a Teletubbies outfit. Did we see Roger's new video?
Yes, we did.
Roger is...
Which Teletubbies, that yellow one? Is that Lulu?
No, there's no Lulu, bro.
Isn't there?
I don't think so.
I just said Lulu Rays.
Lulu Rays. I'm going to say Tipsy Whipsy. Is that one? Or is it Tinky
Winky? I think it's Tinky Winky.
Dipsy?
No, it's Tinky Winky.
No, it's Lala.
Oh, Lulu. Lala.
Tinky Winky is the purple one. Dipsy is the green one.
Is that Poe?
Yeah, Poe's the red one.
Poe's the red one.
Poe's the red one.
Shout out to Poe.
I just got this message. Did you know this?
What?
So Dan Andrews, you know how he had time off. Did you know why?
Yeah.
He fucking fucked his back.
But so apparently...
He fell down the stairs.
Apparently he was pushed down the stairs for...
That is the biggest, like, WhatsApp sent around dribble bullshit conspiracy.
Who sent you that? A chick said that to me, like...
Do you reckon there's any truth in that?
Well, absolutely certainly not that we're going to be broadcasting on here.
No, I'm just talking about friends.
Yeah, yeah. That seems like some pretty... But the thing is, I heard something like that maybe like a month ago.
Right, that's like Dictator Dan QAnon type circles is where that stuff gets spread.
Well,
the Ambulance Victoria or whatever it was had to release a statement saying, no, it was all legit because there was so much... Like
what if it is true?
The opposition leader has been started saying, oh, like there's more to it than he's telling us.
Listen, even if there is more to it...
It's a hell of a rumor to spread.
It's a hell of a rumor. Even if there is more to it, right? Let's say there is. Let's say it's fucking true. Like, prove it. It's just, it's unhelpful. Unless you can really prove, like, why, unless you can actually prove this shit, it's super unhelpful to just even, like, clog the fucking space with dumb shit. Mm. And especially when, no disrespect to Richie, but if that's where it's coming from,
Well, he hasn't, but he didn't come up with
it. Of course he didn't. That's what I'm saying, though. That's the channels of information. Like, I love Richard, but that's not where I'm going for my information.
No.
Who the fuck knows where you go for information these days, to be fair? Maybe Richard's a fucking the most...
He's probably better than most.
He's probably better than most, in fairness. But you're just like, the whole thing's fucking ridiculous.
So is it true or not?
No.
Well, look, I wouldn't believe anything he says either. No, he's too left. Fucking Antifa. I stand but like,
I you stand are so Antifa.
I fucking hate them all. I hate them all.
I don't hate them.
Gladys is corrupt.
Yep.
Yes,
and
she's corrupt.
Dan's a fucking soft soy boy beta cuck. Like,
he's a soy boy and he's a cuck.
Yeah. He's a communist and he bows down to China. And,
I mean, I don't know.
He is a communist.
He's just a fucking...
He's a communist as well.
But like...
And a socialist.
They're all just...
they kind of go hand in hand.
They're all just fucking...
Except Bob Catter.
Gimps.
And a fascist.
Fascist. And an alarmist.
He's an ist.
And he's a reactionary.
A reactionary.
Reactionist.
Yeah reactionist.
And all right, let's go. Let's come go. On.
Yeah, let's.
Jesus Christ.
Remember to delete Eddie's Dan Andrews rumor to stop us getting sued.
But also keep it in.
He's not the type to sue. He's not John Barilaro.
Dude, that's interesting.
Dude, that's getting hectic.
That's a bit fucking hairy.
Do you follow that stuff?
Do I? Yeah,
I've been following it.
I do. The videos are quite long, so I don't watch them all, the Friendly Geordies ones. Mm.
Great to stay informed, Eddie. No, this fucking...
No, but I'm sort of up on it.
It's fucking crazy to me. It seems like scary crazy.
That
like,
was... When they got that guy and fucking took him out of the house, yeah, like pushed the mum and shit, that was...
They used a terror unit, like, to go and get him.
I know.
The tactic... What was it called?
Fixated
Persons Unit. Which is like used for people who are potentially terrorists.
Yeah, lone wolf extremists and stuff.
That's a fucking...
Yeah.
That's just like a political flex. Right, that's a flex.
And that's fucking scary. This dude was at his mum's house, like his house, plainclothes police officers armed in an unmarked car. And his mum's just seen him get carried off into an unmarked car. Like,
could have been anyone.
But also like it's so... What they're doing, right? Like what Friendly Jordan shit's doing. Like even if you want to like take legal action against him, if you're John Barilaro, right, for like, defaming defamation. Him and all that sort of shit, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just, that's fine. You don't send fucking plainclothes cops over to drag the fucking guy out of his house, push his mum over and shit. Like,
not even him, though, a producer.
Yeah, not.
No, exactly. Yeah,
not
Jordan.
Not even Jordan.
No, it's his producer. But like, I'm just trying to work out. And now Geordie's like the guy they've got representing him in their like legal case against him is like some big dick motherfucker who's gone like, yeah, I'll represent you.
Representing Jordan Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some big dick fucking
who's swinger. Like, this is fucked.
I think so, yeah. And I think because potentially that they are on like some sort of trail of corruption with him.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to prove, because in the defamation, whatever, one of the phrases or whatever was that he's corrupt. So he's going to have to prove in court he's not corrupt, or Jordan's going to have to prove that he is corrupt.
No, you'd have to be proving your claim. I think
which he kind of has done in his YouTube videos. So Barilaro is going to have to defend that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Interesting, though.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Shout out to Christo, who I used to play in a band with and went to Soundwave together.
Oh, so you know the dude.
Yeah, I know. I haven't spoken to him in like ages, but yeah, we were friends when we were younger.
And you played at Soundwave together?
No. Oh, we used to play like together, just me and him and his other mate, and then we went to a Soundwave together.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
One of the last.
Shout out to
the
Christo.
Last Soundwave. And shout out, yeah.
Hope you're doing well, bro.
Yeah. I'm kind of, I mean, he's not on a Top of the Heap podcast, but
no, he's doing well for himself. He's doing okay, though. Well, he's getting arrested, so yeah. He's making waves.
That's kind of like every leftist wet dream.
Dude, I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. That's you, dude. Now we just got to get you arrested.
Yeah, get me arrested. We could.
But I mean, that band's fucking spawned some pretty fucking impressive people. Christo of Jordan Shanks fame and Dior Dave of Hello Sport fame.
Yeah. I wonder what Xavier's up to.
Oh, what is Xavier doing?
I don't know.
Unless it's Xavier Coates.
It's not Xavier Coates.
Are you sure?
He
could be
the
least impressive out of the three. I'm sure it's not Xavier.
He's doing nothing if it's him.
That would have been funny.
Eating shit for Queensland every week.
Yeah, the least successful is Xavier Coates.
Xavier Coates.
Out of those three. Mm.
And that's no disrespect to Xavier, who we like on this show.
Yeah, we do.
He's a victim of circumstance. Let's move on.
G'day, Tom, Eddie, Dior. Bronx biggest fan dribbler here. Loving the Bronx fame. Just got a correction. You mentioned the big three this year. The big three I see are the Panthers, Storm, and your big fucking egos. You'll be lucky to get through round one of finals. Have a good one. Fuck Manly. Get off Turbo's dick. Cheers, boys.
Thank you so much. I would say that we're probably going to be top four, so we'll easily be able to get through round one of finals because we'll, even if we were to lose, which we wouldn't, we'd get a second bite at the cherry.
By getting to the top four. Which look, our run home is ridiculous. I think we get to the top four.
Yeah, we're playing the Dogs this week. Our egos are huge, but you're allowed to be...
Look.
You're allowed to have big egos when Manly's going as well as they are.
Look, our egos are only this big because Manly has massaged them through the weight of points and wins.
They're pegged to the success of Manly.
Exactly. It's like pegged to inflation.
Correct.
But not inflation. But it's not Manly inflation, it's performance. Manly's
performance.
Make sense?
But that is definitely where our ego's pegged to. Like when the Aussie dollar's pegged to fucking, is it US dollar? Where
no.
Or is that inflation? Is that what the pegging is?
No.
Where do we get pegged? Other than our
Our dollar's not pegged.
We don't get pegged.
No, it's fluid.
We're getting pegged by the world.
China's.
Is China pegging us?
China's dollar's pegged.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the whatever, it's not the dollar, but their currency is pegged.
No, the yen is Japanese, yeah.
Footsie? Really? I don't know. It's not the footsie. I'm just fucking saying.
I don't even know what the...
I don't know what it is. Chinese dollars.
Is it just Chinese?
No, it's not dollars, no way.
Yuan. Y-U-A-N.
Yuan.
Y-U-A-N.
Yuan. Yeah, yuan. Yeah, yuan.
Yuan.
Yeah.
Shout out to getting pegged. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where our ego
is. Or is it the renminbi?
I don't think anyone cares. But, I mean, it would be nice to know.
No, I think it is the renminbi before anyone bloody calls up and say I was wrong. Oh, they've got nice photos of Mao on them.
Oh, we love that.
Beautiful Mao photos.
Mm. Mao's hot.
Beautiful.
Mao was hot.
Mao was very hot.
Yeah.
Very fuckable.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. China will come for us. You know what I mean? That's just sort of the problem. You don't want China coming for you.
What, by saying Mao was fuckable?
Yeah. I know it's positive. I know it's like ultimately a compliment. But you just never know if you're like, dude, Mao was fucking unbelievably fuckable, whether they're going to find that offensive or not. Imagine if that's the name of the podcast this week. Mao is so fuckable.
Would peg Mao.
Would peg Mao. Would let Mao peg you. Yeah. I think that would be the disrespect. You'd have to be pegged by Mao.
Yeah.
Pegged by Mao.
Pegged by Mao.
Fuck me, dude. Keep going.
What a glorious morning, lads. What a great win. How good is that? Waking up in the morning and watching Ross Taylor ahead of six to win the World Test Championship. Now, the only reason I'm ringing is there seems to be a lot of salty Australians out there on Fox Sport, on Facebook. Now, look, lads, Tim Payne's the reason you didn't make the final with a slow over eight, and that's how we got in there and we took our chances and won. It's that simple, boys. Anyway... Dry those tears with sandpaper, lads.
This is not the greatest phone line I've ever heard.
Well, he's calling from across the ditch.
Yeah, he is calling from across the seas, the high seas, Eddie.
Do they get that high?
Oh, they get high. Oh, they get high. Don't you worry about that. The seas can get very high.
What sea is that?
It's Tasman. The Tasman Sea.
Tasman?
Yeah.
And then the Bass at the bottom?
Bass Strait.
And then the top?
Pacific? I don't know.
What's the sea across the top of Australia? Well,
a bit of it's the South China Sea.
Oh, that's true.
There's also, but that's kind of more on the right. Hang on, I'm getting the maps.
Get the seas up. So Bass at the bottom, Tasman on the right.
Pacific would be where?
No, we're not talking seas here. The Pacific's ocean. The whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the Coral Sea, which is off the top right of Queensland. There's the Timor Sea.
Timor Sea.
Which is kind of Western Australia and South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Arafura Sea, which is like right above Darwin.
Didn't know that.
No, there's Little Land Sea.
There's like 10 different seas around Indonesia and Papua New Guinea.
Oh, there's seas everywhere.
Yeah,
there's a lot of seas.
Dude, West Roundabout.
Whoever said there was the seven seas, there seems like there's a lot more.
I think that was...
There's seven oceans.
I think that was honestly... Are
there? I think there's seven oceans.
But I think the seven seas is like, I think, sail the seven seas.
Yeah.
Is a saying.
Yes.
But I think that was obviously before...
Is there seven oceans? Double check that.
I think that was before, you know, people really understood, right? It's like when people thought that the Earth was the center of the...
Or is there six?
There's only five.
Five.
Yeah.
Indian, Pacific, Arctic. Yeah. Indian, Pacific, Arctic.
Arctic Ocean. The Atlantic.
Atlantic.
What are we on?
Antarctic?
Antarctic? No.
Arctic?
Arctic? No.
Uh-huh. Is it Pacific, Atlantic, Arctic, Indian?
Arctic, thank you, motherfucker.
And why does it only say there's four? And the Southern Ocean, which is their Antarctic Ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think we got any closer to an answer there, but let's move on. I
can't remember the question.
No, I don't remember the question. I have no idea what the question was.
We know that there's not seven oceans.
Yeah,
there's
five. Yeah. Well, we couldn't even name them.
But we also know that there isn't seven seas. There's many.
Correct. Seas. And they can get very high.
It was something about all cricket.
All low. Oh, the Kiwi dribbler.
Yeah.
Calling oh, yeah, whatever. Move
speaking
on.
Speaking through his hand.
Yeah, we've already addressed it. We're half a Kiwi, so we it's our win too.
Yeah, yeah. We're test champions.
G'day, boys. Just listening to the Origin 2 preview with Bloke in a Bar. The pie rhetoric. So, shepherd's pie, yep, the big one with the potato on top. The littler ones that you get from the bakery are actually called cottage pies. One of the great delicacies. Little hot tip. Whacking on a bit of bread with some sauce or a bread roll, whatever's handy. Up there with a Devon Sanger. So, I know Eddie from Dubbo, good Dubbo stock, would appreciate that. Cheers, boys.
Well, that's what I said. I said to you when we were talking cottage pie, meat pie, fucking shepherd's pie, I knew the shepherd's pie was different to the potato top pie.
But now we know it's called a cottage pie.
Well, no, the potato top pie, not a cottage pie. It's just called a potato pie. This guy's a fucking dribbler.
He sounded pretty confident.
Yeah, I know. We got sent a DM, though, which I actually haven't even looked at yet.
Look up cottage pies, Dave. Mm.
Shepherd's pie, cottage pie, or something else. So it sounds like it's the same thing.
Okay, so we got sent a shepherd's pie, cottage pie, but I'm saying a potato pie is different. We got sent a DM by Aussie Pie Reviews. As a meat pie connoisseur, I enjoyed hearing your dribble about meat pies for about 10 minutes in your podcast with Dan, and I can confirm the meat pie you were talking about is the potato with the potato on top, simply called a potato pie, which is just a meat pie with potato on top. A shepherd's pie, no matter the size, is a different recipe that involves more ingredients such as tomato paste, which is what I said on the podcast, carrots, etc.
Yep, okay.
Sweet.
And now just a quick shout-out, State of Origin 2. Just a quick shout-out to my nan, actually. Actually, I've got a Queensland dribbler. Oh, shit. What do you have to say, Queensland dribbler? Oh, that's what I heard. That's what I'm hearing around here. Shout-out to my nan. Shout-out to Queensland. Love it.
Yep.
Yep, that sounds exactly right. Like a Queensland fan there. That was...
Was that Paul Green?
That might have been Paul Green. Former Origin coach, Paul Green.
Of one series fame.
Sad boy, Queensland dribbler here. Currently laying in bed, cuddling myself. But it's easy to sort of sleep at night knowing that this feeling... Like, you guys had to feel this shit for 8 years straight. So, you know, beers never. Suck my cock. Hope Tommy pulls his hamstring. Peace out.
What a fucking loser, firstly. 8 in a row. You're bringing that up again? We've been saying all day that's the mark of a loser. If you bring up 8 straight, you're a loser. Then to call fucking for Tommy's hamstring, loser.
Yeah. It's been what? Since ended in 2013, it's now 2021.
Yeah.
So it's been your longest streak, like the 8 in a row, is such a long period of time. It's now been longer than that since that was on.
That's the most pathetic fucking reality for you guys I've ever heard. Anyway, that's good for you. Let's move on.
Last one?
Yep.
Gents, I'm laying in bed. It's 1 in the morning. I'm still completely and utterly erect after watching one of the great performances dominating what are just a bunch of cuckolded, useless cane toads, and I couldn't be happier. I want to draw your attention to something that occurred in the later stages of the game after the 70th minute. I slid into your DMs and posted, and it was Jerome Luai giving Kyle Felt the Dikembe Mutombo finger waggle after he's stripped of the ball by To'o. And it just makes me so happy that we're playing with a bit of cunt, that we're playing with a bit of aggression. Mm-hmm. And it's just highway robbery from the Blues, and I couldn't be happier. I imagine by the time the potty comes out, I'll still be completely erect from this performance, and I'm so happy. Cheers, boys. Beers soon. Dior. Go fuck yourself.
There's no substitute for a bit of cunt, Tom.
No, there isn't. There isn't. You literally, you can't, you know, if you could teach it, you would. If you could bottle it and sell it, you would. But cunt's intrinsic and we got a bit of it in us.
Great note that to finish the potty, I think.
Fantastic note to finish on. If you do still have a New South Wales-based erection, our directive would be just ride it out. Don't try and get rid of it. Don't try and think of things to bring it down. There is no way to bring it down other than time and time alone, so I would just enjoy it.
Well, put it to good use.
Put it to good use. Enjoy it. Play with it. Pay it some attention.
Yeah.
Because it ain't coming down till it's ready.
Yeah, which could be months.
It could be months. Yeah, because it's already, like, excited for game three. If you've got, your bone is going, it's just all eyes on game three, so it could be a while. But that is it for another week, Eddie. Phenomenal. One of the great podcasts all time.
All time.
Thank you to, obviously, Pilot for jumping on board. Pilot.com.au, Bloke in a Bar, obviously. Fucking Bluebet, Dr. V, our loyal sponsors. We love you all very much and we appreciate you. The Bounced Out trackies are pre-sale on until Friday. You will not fucking get them after this. So make the right decisions and get on the fucking Bounced Out trackies. We've also got the Punters and Dribblers hats. They're going to be available beyond Friday, their pre-sale. But the Bounced Out trackies, we've got to do it as a pre-sale because it's a fucking different ball game and we don't know how much you all weigh and sizes and shit. But I think that's it.
That's it.
Thank you very much, David, Edward. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.